Jason Solomon. Jason Solomon. Why does that name sound so sinister? Maybe because your secret screen name is Solomonster69? What do you mean by Solomonster69, Jason Solomon? Chris Hansen here of Hansen vs. Predators, To Catch a Predator, and have a seat with Chris Hansen. Now I'm going to need you, Jason, to have a seat right over there. I've been going through some transcripts. I don't like what I see. We're still climbing out of a pandemic. You're still supposed to be socially distant, flattening the curve, not going online and asking people of questionable age if they like Gladiator movies, Greco-Roman wrestling, big-time wrestling, TV wrestling, pro wrestling, any kind of wrestling, whatever you call it. It's a sort of behavior that can lead you to maybe in a dark kitchen someplace, having to call Wayne to throw your mail. Nobody wants that. So behave. And if you can, well, there's something you need to know. You're listening to the Solomonster Sounds Off podcast.
I am apparently Solomonster69, which I did not know, and this is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, July 29, 2020. One of my listeners, Wayne, is the man responsible for that video you saw there, that very bizarre video that landed in my inbox a couple of days ago from one Chris Hansen. You know, I would think Chris would have his hands full with all those wrestlers over there in the UK. I would think that he could probably get a couple of seasons worth out of episodes for his television show just by going after those guys alone. Why are you coming after me for? Leave me the fuck alone. I'm having a bad enough night as it is. I don't need Chris Hansen on my ass. And I am, in fact, running the stream off my new Fios connection. I have cut the cable cord. I am done with cable. I am finished. Thank you for sticking around. We had a lot of people drop off. I know tonight's all fucked. I mean, there's nothing I can do, but we had about 350 people stick around for 30 minutes twiddling their thumbs. So you guys are awesome, and thank you for sticking with me and not jumping ship. I appreciate it. You guys are awesome. Chris Statlander. Chris Statlander underwent successful ACL surgery yesterday that will likely keep her out of the ring for up to 9 months. It was back on June 10th, the June 10th episode of Dynamite, if you remember, that she was injured. She was injured in a match. She did a dive out of the ring onto Kip Sabian and hurt her knee. And I had thought she already had the surgery. I mean, almost 2 months have gone by, and she only had the surgery yesterday. Seems like lost time to me. I don't know what the holdup was. I don't know if it had to do with COVID, and maybe it wasn't considered a major surgery. I mean, ACL surgery seems pretty major. So I don't know what the holdup was, but it's going to be a while before we see her again. Tonight, though, was not about aliens. Of course, Chris Statlander calls herself the galaxy's greatest alien. It was not about aliens tonight. It was about Warhorse. Warhorse was one of the stars of the show tonight here on Dynamite. And I thought he had a really good showing against Cody. I thought he had a good accounting of himself in the ring. This show, though, did not have the energy that last week's show had. Last week's show just had a certain vibe. It had a certain energy to it that, unfortunately, this week's show just felt like it just didn't have it. It just wasn't there. I still thought, on the whole, it was a good show. I mean, I had fun with certain parts of the show, but it just, I don't know, there was a certain feeling that that show, a certain sense of urgency that show had last week that was missing from tonight. Taz was on commentary in place of Excalibur, and this is a, I don't know exactly what's going on here, but there was a situation. And the situation, for those who don't know, is that now Excalibur, I believe, was on Dark last night. They had 12 matches last night on AEW Dark. Doesn't really mean anything. I think Dark is taped a week in advance. In the last few days, video has resurfaced. This is not video that was under lock and key. This is not video that has never been seen before. But there has been video that has been floating around. And somebody in the chat is saying that there's two feeds. Is that the case? Somebody update me and let me know, because I'll try to fix that if I can. That was one of the issues I was having, is that it was telling me there was another feed and you couldn't start a new one. So I don't need two feeds going simultaneously. So let's just double check and make sure we're not streaming in two different places. And in fact, there are two streams. That is very weird. So we've got 600 people on one of them. We've got over 100 people on the other. This has never happened before. I don't know if I know how to fix that. So we may just have to have the two competing streams. We've got dueling streams here. Excalibur. So Excalibur was in a video or a couple of clips, actually, that were popping up from many, many years ago. Now, Excalibur has been retired, I think, for over a decade. I don't think he's wrestled a match in, like, I don't even know, 12, 13 years, maybe? But in the early days of PWG, there were at least a couple of times where to try to get heel heat, I was going to say on TV, but they weren't on TV, but to get heel heat at these PWG shows, he used the N-word, which is a no-no. This would have been probably 2003, maybe 2004, somewhere around then. And Kevin Steen, of course, Kevin Owens, was in at least one of those segments with him, and he also dropped an N-bomb. There were heels trying to get heel heat. This is going back 17 years, I think. And I'm fairly certain that over the years, Excalibur has apologized for it. I believe Kevin Owens has apologized for it. Obviously, it's not something they're proud of. But for whatever reason, these clips have been circulating all of a sudden. Again, this has been out there for 17 years. And for whatever reason, it just bubbled back up again. And then, miraculously, Excalibur is not only not on the show tonight, I don't think they mentioned him a single time. You know, when Tony Schiavone is not there, they mention where Tony is. Correct me if I'm wrong in the chat, but I didn't hear them mention his name once. Taz was there to replace him. It was like Excalibur didn't even exist. And I have to imagine that that is not a coincidence, that it is tied in. Maybe it was just a case of, listen, lay low for a week or two, we'll bring you back. I don't know that it's more serious than that. I think this whole thing is really ridiculous, especially, you know, he's talked about this before and apologized for it. Again, the possibility of the guy's job being at risk, I don't know that it is or it isn't, but I think that's completely stupid. I think that's completely ridiculous. And you may have some people saying, well, Tony Khan banned Hulk Hogan. He banned Hulk Hogan from all future AEW events because he used the N-word. Well, yeah, well, he got caught on tape in a private moment using a racial slur. Excalibur made, he did a heel promo 17 years ago. He thought he was getting heel heat. He thought he was being cute. It was stupid. I wouldn't exactly equate the two things. But again, I find that too coincidental that he wasn't on the show tonight. Hopefully everything is okay. Hopefully he'll be back. I did kind of miss the guy tonight. Taz, Schiavone, and JR are a great trio. And they work well together. But I would hate to think that all of a sudden Excalibur's job is at risk because of something stupid like this. This is out of control. This, like, gotcha bullshit nonsense is just fucking stupid. I mean, there are situations where it's like, oh, wow, you know, that's... Yeah, I hadn't heard that before. If the guy's apologized for it, he's owned up to it, then I frankly don't see the need for any great drama here. So we'll see where this goes, but that was very interesting. Chris Jericho. We had Chris Jericho, the Inner Circle, opening up against Orange Cassidy, Best Friends, Luchasaurus, and Jungle Boy. This was just kind of all over the place. Honestly, I really was not a fan of this opening match. Now, a lot of weeks on Dynamite, they have a pretty solid, if not even a great opener, really hot opener to start things out. And I think they were kind of aiming for that with this. You had a lot of guys in this match. You know, 10 guys out there. But to me, it was just all over the place. Luchasaurus' mask fell off at one point, which is a great metaphor for how this stream started on YouTube tonight. Or should I say double stream? I've heard of double fisting. I've never heard of double streaming, but we're debuting a new concept here tonight. Inner Circle was working on Trent Barretta for a good chunk of the match. Hot tag to Luchasaurus. He ran wild with a bunch of kicks. Again, this is where his mask kind of fell off. And in the end, Sammy Guevara is going up to the top rope. He's going to hit a big move. And all of a sudden, Matt Hardy's music hits. I didn't know it was Matt Hardy's music. I'm used to, like, Broken Matt, the piano. I heard music. I'm like, who the fuck is that? I didn't even know it was Matt Hardy's music until the announcers made mention of it. And Matt walked out, not as Broken Matt or Woken Matt or whatever other version of Matt Hardy there is, he just walked out there as Matt Hardy. But Sammy was distracted by the music, and Luchasaurus took advantage, and he gave him a roundhouse kick for the pin, and I thought that finish sucked. I didn't like that finish. I didn't like that finish. I thought the match itself was okay. If it were WWE, it would have been a baby face distracted by the music. Here it was a heel. In WWE, it would have been a baby face. Dumb baby face syndrome. Oh, I hear music. Let me turn my attention and see what's going on. Never a fan. Rarely am I a fan of that finish. The dreaded music distraction. And Matt Hardy recently announced that he is dropping all of his gimmicks. So we're not going to get Broken Matt or Woken Matt or anything. He's going to be Matthew Hardy. And it's because, in part because of everything going on in the world and all these serious events, racial unrest, COVID, people dying. That coupled with the fact that when he debuted on Dynamite back in March, he thought that he would have fans every single week chanting, delete, delete, delete. And he hasn't wrestled in front of a single crowd since Dynamite started. So taking all of that into account, he's decided that he's just going to ditch all of his gimmicks and just be Matt Hardy. He's going to be Matthew Hardy. And I think that that is a bad idea. I say thumbs down on that. You know, there was still mileage left in the broken gimmick bringing it over here to this new promotion. And we got a little bit of it at first. And I know not everybody is a fan of it. They think it's too goofy or too over the top. But there was still mileage left in it. And especially, it looks like they're going to resume the feud with him and Sammy Guevara. I still would love to see them do something at the Hardy compound. And now, if it's just Matt Hardy, it's like, yeah, all right, well, whatever. Not very interesting, not very exciting. So I'm not sold on this whole ditch all the gimmicks and just be Matt Hardy thing. I think that's a mistake. But maybe he'll have a change of heart. Maybe he'll have a change of heart. I guess we'll see. Let me just play catch up on this. Super chats were coming in even as I was trying to fix the stream. Again, I really appreciate everybody who stuck it out with me. Everybody who believed in me. Who believed in me that I would find a way to fix this. And so thank you for that. But Jackalope Music and Rican Sun, you guys were first in the queue. So thank you. Popo Jr., Joe Olivo, Jacob Donnelly, Spanish Goddess, good to hear from you. Crash said, I know it happened a while ago, but just checking, how is your leg from when you injured it in Colombia a few years ago? Still feeling any effects? It's good. It's good. Yeah, I mean, it's still numb. You know, when they do knee surgery, they have to cut through some of the nerves and all that. So there's still like a numbness there. Really notice it when I'm doing some of this DDP yoga stuff and some of the moves. You got to lean on that knee. I got to put a pillow there. Just, it's too much. But otherwise, everything's good. So thank you for asking. I appreciate that. And Lord Frieza, good to hear from you as well. Cody and Warhorse. This was one of the big promoted matches of the week here on Dynamite this week. Warhorse has been waiting for this opportunity for a long time. He has wanted this match with Cody now for the longest time. This was the open challenge this week for the TNT Championship. Justin Roberts, in announcing Warhorse when he came out, called him 4,000 pounds of raw heavy metal. 4,000 pounds. You know, even when Hardcore Holly was doing the super heavyweight gimmick, he was like 400. 4,000. I think Warhorse could be doing some DDP yoga himself. By the way, Cody said this week that the TNT title, which is still unfinished, by the way, they debuted a championship 2 months ago that was not even finished. They claimed due to COVID, finally, the TNT title is going to be finished, he says, on August 12. August 12 is a Wednesday. I assume he meant debuting the new belt and not that it would be finished. He said that it is not going to be gold. It's going to be silver and nickel with textures. So that's how the belt will look a little bit different. It will have texture to it. It won't look kind of flat and kind of dull the way it looks now. But he said otherwise, it's the same design, same colors. So we will finally be getting a finished championship in these next couple of weeks. Cody was doing push-ups in the middle of this match. They had gone to commercial break, and they come back and they said, well, you missed it, but during the commercial, Cody was in the ring in the middle of this match doing push-ups, and he was being admonished by Arn Anderson. So yet more heelish behavior here from Cody. Although Arn has taken him to task a few times, and I wonder, and we're going to get into the FTR thing here in a second, but I wonder as we look ahead to what may eventually becoming a new faction, perhaps. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I was convinced that it would be Arn and Cody still together, maybe part of some kind of group with an FTR and somebody else. But I wonder if we might actually, instead of turning Cody heel, if it's all just kind of like a red herring, and in the end, Arn just kind of ditches Cody and goes with somebody else. I don't know. I think you have to entertain every possibility. But as his coach, he's yelled at him a few different times for a few different things. So after the break, Cody's using a figure four. Warhorse reverses the figure four. Cody gets the break out of it. And Warhorse is holding his own in there. And in fact, at one point, he hit this beautiful diving elbow from the top rope. Jim Ross dropped the Macho Man reference here in the same week that Kairi Sane retired and stepped away from WWE. Another beautiful elbow drop. So this was a big-time elbow drop from Warhorse for a near fall. He blocked a figure four attempt by Cody. Cody was trying to put the figure four on. He blocked it. He tried to, but in the end, Cody was able to get the figure four on, and he got the tap out. So Warhorse submitted. I thought Warhorse looked real good here. Look, the kid, what did they say, 27 years old? He had the opportunity of a lifetime. Independent star trying to make a name for himself. He was a tag team wrestler for a number of years. And then a couple of years ago, he came up with this Warhorse gimmick, and he's screaming, and he's painting his face, and he's raging like a madman. And he's gotten himself over. He's made a little name for himself. And he got noticed, and here he is, live on TNT, wrestling Cody for the TNT Championship. So this was an opportunity of a lifetime for him. I don't know if it's enough to get him a contract. Ricky Starks got a contract out of it, but I don't know. I don't know if Warhorse is going to get a deal out of it. I would think not. But look, if nothing else, he upped his stock. And I think that he, obviously he's in a better position now than he was before. He's coming off a big television appearance. There aren't that many indie shows going on right now, so the timing is not ideal. But I thought he had a good showing for himself. You guys in the chat can let me know what you think or what you thought of Warhorse. Alex Reynolds and John Silver of the Dark Order, they ran in, they attacked Warhorse, only to then turn their attention to Cody. And by the way, just so some of you are aware, I believe what I am seeing in the chat is the chat for the other stream that has the lower number of people in it. So if you are in the other one, the larger stream, and you are chatting, I'm probably not able to see what's going on. So you might want to also open up the other one or come on over to the other stream so I could see all your comments. I think that's what's going on here. But Alex Reynolds and John Silver of the Dark Order, they ran down. They kind of knocked Warhorse out of the way, went after Cody. And Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson's ready to throw down. Arn Anderson gets in the ring, and who should come to the rescue of Arn Anderson but Matt Cardona? Now, I wonder how many people are out there who don't know who Matt Cardona is. They wouldn't know him by that name, because why would they, right? You got fans out there who only know him as Zack Ryder, and they're going, oh, it's Matt Cardona. So out comes Cardona, and this guy's looking jacked. He and Heath Slater, man, they have this renewed motivation since leaving WWE. Heath shows up at Impact. He's looking swole. Zack Ryder's coming out here. He's looking all buff. He gives a pair of Rough Riders to the Dark Order guys. Look, you've tuned into the streams. I've been calling the Cardona appearance for weeks. Now, I thought it would come as a surprise in the open challenge, which I guess it was. It's just he wasn't wrestling Cody. Technically, we did get to see Cardona make his debut here during one of these open challenge segments. He came to Cody's aid. Obviously, in real life, they're very good friends. He hugged Cody outside the ring. And look, I still think that he'll end up getting a TNT title match soon. Now, is he going to turn on Cody? Is it going to be a friendly challenge? That I don't know. But I believe that's what we are building towards. Now, as far as Cardona goes, We got Turbo says you got mad super chats in the other stream. Yeah, you know what? I hope I'm seeing. I think I have all of them queued up. I don't think I'm missing any of that. I hope I'm not missing any of those. We're gonna get to all of those. I think it was just the live chat. I wasn't able to see everybody. So come on over. Come on over to the larger stream. We got two pools this week instead of one. You could come take a dip in this one and you can hop back into the other one. But Cardona. Cardona spent 15 years in WWE. That's a long time to be in the WWE system. 15 years from developmental until the day that he got released. And he got over in spite of the company. And that's something I think that you can't forget that. You can't kind of understate that. He was an edgehead. He was an edgehead. And he was being used in some ways as an enhancement talent. He was tired of sitting around. He started this internet show, right? The Z True Long Island Story. And he got over in a way that the company never anticipated. He put together these really entertaining shows. He grew his fan base. He had over a million. I don't know what he has now, but he had over a million Twitter followers at a time when you would look and go, why does Zack Ryder have a million Twitter followers? And he did that without much help from WWE. All WWE did, they gave him a little bit of TV time. The only reason he got more TV time is because he created more TV time for himself. So I bring all of this up just to illustrate the point that what he did was very impressive, and I would not underestimate the level of fan support that he has. That being said, this is not a signing that I see where this guy is going to come in, light the world on fire, and end up in main events within the next year. That I don't see. I always saw Zack Ryder at a certain level in WWE. You know, they never used him to the full potential they could have. They still could have made more money off the guy. But was Zack Ryder ever going to be WWE champion or Universal champion? No. No. Is Zack Ryder going to be AEW champion? No, I don't believe so. No. But what I see him at that TNT title level. I see him at that TNT title level. And look, that's not a bad place to be. There's nothing wrong with that. But especially in a time and an era right now where we don't have fans at these shows. And here's a guy who got over through fan support. And unfortunately for him, there are no fans. There may not be fans for many more months. I just see him at being, you know, at a certain level. I don't see him coming in and all of a sudden, you know, he's going to be transformed into some big name that he never was in WWE. But he seems happier, and I'm sure he enjoys the freedom. So it was cool to see him out there getting an opportunity to start anew. I mean, he has a chance now to start a whole new career for himself. But I look at a guy like Sean Spears and I say, I see Ryder at about one level above where Sean Spears is right now, which I know is not saying much, but that's kind of where I see him ending up. I'm not trying to knock the guy. That's just where I see him falling in the pecking order here in this company. And they have a lot of talent under contract in this company. Pac is still sitting at home overseas. Think of all the talent that they have under contract who they can't even use right now because of the travel restrictions. You know, Matt Cardona is not in the upper echelon of names that they have under contract in this company. But if he can carve out a little space for himself, then hey, good for him. It's better than what he was doing in WWE, which was not much of anything. Unfortunately, he wasn't doing much of anything. Let's see here. I do have a lot of super chats to catch up on. I'll spread them out as we go along here. The True Heel Master said the Wi-Fi connection has turned heel on Solomon. It was either that or YouTube. I don't know who the culprit was. But yeah, I went from being in a good mood to being in a not so good mood. But now that I'm with all of you guys, I'm in a better mood now. Turbo, when Jericho was live Saturday night, I super chatted him $5 and said, "Can AEW please hire Solomon?" Sir, he never acknowledged my super chat. Well, I've met him a couple of times, although I didn't really meet him as in Solomonster mode, so I wouldn't expect him to know what you're talking about. Troy Turner with the $5. Chris Godless Metalhead, thank you. Level 20 Facto Tomb with the $5. And Food Hive I can see you ripping your cable bill all over again. Well, thankfully, I won't have to be doing that anymore. Jericho in the Inner Circle. So Tony Schiavone is on the stage, and he's making an announcement about All Out. That's the next big pay-per-view coming up on Labor Day weekend, September 5th. And out comes Jericho in the Inner Circle, and Jericho's fuming over the end of that match earlier tonight. Matt Hardy interfering. He is not in a good mood. Sammy Guevara calls Matt Hardy a son of a bitch. Funny moment here. Jericho said, he asked Sammy. Now, Sammy does not really know Spanish. I've seen that as like an inside joke in interviews and such. Calls himself the Spanish God, but you try to have a conversation with him in Spanish, I don't think he can do it. So Jericho says, so what's son of a bitch in Spanish? And Sammy goes, son of el bitch. So there's your Spanish to English translation. Or I guess English to Spanish, I should say. English to Spanish translation. Son of el bitch. August 12th. We are getting the Chris Jericho Orange Cassidy rematch live on Dynamite. He said he's going to force Orange Cassidy to pay him $7,000 for the jacket, which he was still wearing, by the way. The jacket that he destroyed when he took the orange juice bath a few weeks ago. Which seems to get dirtier by the week. He said he must have spilled some kind of demon orange juice on him because it seems to be getting darker and looking different as each week goes by. But before that, before the rematch on August 12th, first we have next week. And next week it's going to be Super Wednesday. They're doing Super Wednesday, I guess a takeoff of Super Tuesday, which is the big election day thing here in this country. I don't know if other countries have something similar. It's Super Tuesday here. Like during the primaries and everything. A whole bunch of states have their own primary elections on Super Tuesday. You win delegates. Maybe in other countries it's Super Sunday, Super Showdown in Saudi Arabia, that kind of thing. So it's going to be a great debate on Dynamite next week with Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy. They're going to have a debate, and Jericho says that the debate moderator is someone it's going to blow our mind. He didn't say who the debate moderator is going to be, but he said it's going to be somebody who's going to blow our mind. And all I thought to myself was, I hear the word debate, and it can only be one man. It can only be one man. And that man has to be Scott Steiner. Big pop-up pump. I know I'm not one to say they should bring in more old-timers, but for one time, if you're going to have a debate, even if he's not the one debating, you can't tell me you wouldn't want to see Big Papa Pump moderating a debate. Ever since I saw that debate on Raw many years ago with him and Chris Nowinski over there, Chris Concussion, I thought to myself, I never knew that I needed Scott Steiner in the middle of a ring as part of a debate until I actually saw it with my own two eyes. So there's my contribution to tonight's stream. Maybe we can get him involved in some way. But then after that, get him off my TV, because we don't need him as a permanent fixture on the show, just for 1 week. FTR, they've been... Now, FTR has done interviews claiming they haven't really signed AEW contracts yet. We're working with an open contract, and they really wanted you to believe that. And as I told you many weeks ago, they're full of shit. I don't know that very many people believe that, but that's the story they've been peddling now. And so they kind of worked that into the storyline where they don't have a contract. This was the big contract signing. This was earlier in the day. Tony Schiavone, they're in a boardroom, I guess, TIAA field somewhere. And they're getting ready to sign their contract. Arn Anderson shows up. Arn Anderson just pops in. Hey, guys. That's your contract? Let me take a look. Okay. Here's my contract. You want to know how much I'm making? So Arn is thumbing through the contract. Why is this saying that it's disconnecting? Please tell me it didn't disconnect. Anyway, this is just ridiculous. All right, I think we're good. Please let me know in the chat if you can hear me. What a disaster. It just flashed a very quick message about disconnecting. I think we're good, though. I think we're good. I think this computer is trying to give me a heart attack tonight. That's what I think is going on here. So Arn Anderson is looking through FTR's contract, and he is reading up on all the little details and all the little stipulations that they've had added to their contract. And so they have rules in their contract that the rules need to be strictly enforced in all tag team matches. They have a stipulation in the contract that states that for their matches only, they have to have a tag rope. You know, in case you didn't know that these guys are big fans of tag team wrestling. And what's interesting about the tag rope, I was just reading a transcript. There was an interview that Jim Ross did. I don't know if it was on his own podcast or he did an interview somewhere else. He was bemoaning the fact that AEW do not have a tag team rope. Yeah, that's one of those old school wrestling devices. You got the rope in the corner. You got to hold on to it. And he was bemoaning the fact that in AEW, they didn't have that. You know, they don't have one. He was ranting about a lot of things, frankly. You know, these young kids, they don't know, you know, they don't know what they don't know. And, you know, get off my lawn. Anyway, so now the FTR matches, at least they'll have a tag rope. August 12 is going to be Tag Team Appreciation Night. They made sure that was in their contract as well. So it's going to be Tag Team Appreciation Night. The lawyer in the room says, it's in the contract. Just sign it. So they sign their new deals. They put pen to paper. All of a sudden, who shows up but Hangman Page? And Hangman Page is in a festive mood. He's got a smile on his face and a bottle of Jack. Sounds like a party to me. And he's pouring a glass of Jack Daniels of whiskey for each guy, including Arn Anderson. And Arn Anderson very wisely pours his Jack Daniels. I think he poured it into Harwood's cup. You know, given Arn's history, probably a good idea. You know what that reminded me of, actually? One of the great segments on Impact many years ago. It was a funeral segment. Oh, you know, it was the funeral for Aces and Eights. It was the funeral for Aces and Eights. And I think Samoa Joe was there, and Samoa Joe was handing out bottles of beer. And Kurt Angle was sitting in the second row or whatever in the chapel. And he went to go hand a bottle of beer to Kurt Angle, and then he thought better of it. He goes, no. Just like a little moment like that, fucking died. That's kind of what this reminded me of a little bit. But the real interesting moment here came at the very end when Hangman is saluting them. And he says, to the Mid-Atlantic. And they all drink. And I thought to myself, that's interesting. We may have just learned or gotten a little bit of insight into the name of what this future faction may be. So pay attention to that. Because I don't think that was just his way of going, hey, the old Mid-Atlantic wrestling, let's just play tribute. That could be the name of a faction. You know, we've been talking about the possibility of there being some kind of new Four Horsemen. They can't call it the Horsemen. What if they call themselves the Mid-Atlantic? That'd be an interesting name. I don't think he said that by accident. So we'll see where that goes. Let me see here. I am not connected. I was connected to the phone stuff. I had a disconnect before. I disconnected in a rage. So you are not going to be able to call in. Although I do want to fix it though, so that you guys will be able to call in a little bit. So I'm going to put the number up. The number is not active. You know what? I'll do that later. Number's on the screen. It's not active right now. We'll get to calls later. We'll take a few. Again, I'm trying to piece things back together here, so my apologies. My apologies. Usually it's smooth sailing. Biscuit Torpedo. Here's for having Chris Hansen appear on your show before you appeared on his. Well, I hope to never appear on Chris Hansen's show. I thought Chris Hansen was still in jail. Wasn't he arrested or something for writing bad checks or something like a year ago? I should be asking Chris Hansen the questions, not the other way around. Reekinson, shout out to Jamel Walker. Happy birthday. Jared M with the $25. Thank you. Prince Walker, did not watch yet, but he'll catch up later. JB, I live in the woods and often wake up at, what is this, 5 a.m.? I think this is 5 a.m. Oh, 1 to 5 a.m. for shows in Japan. Wi-Fi can be a total heel. Brian Becerra, thank you for the 10-spot Rodimus Prime. And Johnny A. with the $30 drop. Orange, Solid Monster by day, Orange on Wednesday nights. Computer Hater, the rest of the time. Just celebrated my birthday on Monday. You make it complete. Well, happy belated birthday to you, Johnny A. Kenny Omega, KO, and Hangman Page against Evil Uno and Stu Grayson for the AEW Tag Team titles. Colt Cabana joined on commentary, and Brody Lee stood by silently. You know, you would think that if you were watching this, you would think Colt Cabana was the leader of the Dark Order and Brody Lee was just his silent muscle. It kind of felt that way a little bit. Maybe that should be the roles. I don't know. Cabana said that he is not actually a member, though. He said, I'm not a member. I'm just hanging around. And I thought to myself, that's kind of the story of his career in many ways. Now, don't get me wrong. Colt Cabana's had a lot of success in his career, but I don't know. It kind of feels like he's just hanging around. Anyway. Anna Jay, by the way. Anna Jay officially is a member of the Dark Order. They made that very clear tonight here on the show. I would join the Dark Order if that meant I get to play on the same team as Anna Jay. Sign me up. Where do I go? What is it? JoinDarkOrder.com. Is that the website? I'll go sign up right now. I'll sign up live on the air. If I could be on Team Anna Jay, absolutely. Would love to be on that team. I actually thought this was a good match. I think I enjoyed this match more than the opener, to be honest with you. There's some good action here. Stu Grayson. I don't know that Grayson gets enough credit. You know, Grayson is a small guy, but when you really watch him, when he has a chance to go out there and just really wrestle, you realize he's really good. He's really good. I'm not sold on the gimmick and the whole Dark Order thing, but Grayson is very good. Evil Uno is Evil Uno. So Uno and Grayson were working over Kenny Omega. Uno hit a senton bomb for a near fall. And there was a spot where Uno did a cannonball into the corner at the same time that Grayson hit a 450 off the top rope for a near fall. So some tandem offense there. Omega hit Uno with a Snapdragon in the Bomae, I believe it was, for a near fall. Finish had Adam Page get the tag. Page and Omega hit the last call on Uno for the win. So now Keith Lee is fuming as we see Russo on a pole popping up on my screen. Now there's baby Russo. Look how cute he is. That's the only time you'll ever hear me put the word cute and Russo in the same sentence, when you see baby Russo hanging from the pole. So Keith Lee is, or Brody Lee, excuse me, I'm mixing my Wednesday night shows up here. Brody Lee is fuming. He's fuming mad because his team lost. He's embarrassed. He's smacking them around. He's throwing papers at them. And in the ring, Adam Page has a big fat smile on his face, and Brody gets on the mic, and he's talking to Adam Page, and, you know, he's telling him that, you know, you made a big mistake. And all of a sudden, all of these Dark Order members surround the ring. So now Page and Omega, they are surrounded. And to their rescue comes FTR. FTR comes out. By the way, the Young Bucks also were in the ring. But the Elite were all surrounded. Out come FTR with an ice chest, and they smash it over the backs of the Dark Order, and they make the save. They save the Elite yet again. And then this giant brawl broke out. And that's how the segment ended. And now it sets up a big 12-man tag. You thought a 10-man tag at the beginning of the show this week was a kind of a clusterfuck there at the beginning? You wait until we get a 12-man tag on TV next week. That could go a whole bunch of different ways. Britt Baker, DMD, was funneling more messages to Tony Schiavone. And shout out to Chris Quillman in the chat. I spotted Chris. Chris was one of the early ones in the chat. Then it went to hell, and Chris is still here. So Britt Baker had a message for Big Swole. She said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a match. I will have a match with you if you can beat somebody first. You beat an opponent of my choosing. You will get a match with me. I assume that would be a match at All Out. But before that, she's got to beat an opponent of Britt Baker's choosing. Who that'll be, I don't know. I was thinking maybe Nyla Rose, but then I thought to myself, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to beat Nyla Rose? She just got Vicky Guerrero as a manager. That would be kind of dumb. You get a new manager, you lose your first match. So I don't know who it's going to be. Then we got an unfortunate match. It was Hikaru Shida against Diamante. Diamante had a match with Ivelisse on Dynamite last week. It was the Dynamite debut for Ivelisse and the Dynamite debut for Diamante, who had only been wrestling on AEW Dark. And they had a match last week that I didn't think was that great. And I didn't think it really was a good exhibition of the talents of both women, because I've seen both women, especially Ivelisse, have much better matches. So I thought, all right, not the greatest match, but hopefully they impressed enough to come back. Well, this week, Diamante was not only back, she was in the ring with the AEW Women's Champion in a non-title match. And unfortunately, she had another not-so-great outing here this week. There were a few different botches and just some awkward moments and sequences here in this match. They did, look, they at least gave her a nice personality profile. They gave her a nice video package, Diamante, before the match. We had old man Jim Ross. I'm not trying to pick on JR, but he sounds like a crotchety old man sometimes. I mean, that's going to happen when you're a veteran in the business for 35 years or 40 years. You know, you're going to have a lot of opinions on a lot of different things. And so here, there's Jim Ross on commentary. He's whining about wrestlers coming in, and he's whining about wrestlers whining about not being pushed elsewhere and deserving pushes. And I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? And this was all to build to him saying, well, if that's the case, just win. All Diamante has to do is just go out there and win. I'm like, okay, that was kind of a weird way to get to that point, but all right. Diamante hit a wheelbarrow stunner and covered Shida. Shida's shoulders were not down. All right, moving on. A couple minutes later, Diamante had set up for what looked like a code red or a destroyer. And Shida countered, but then she went for it again. And I said, okay, she's going to hit it this time. And I don't know if this is Diamante's fault. I don't know if it was Sheeta's fault. It could have just been a miscommunication between the two. But she went for the move. She went for the code red. We see Dustin Rhodes do it every time he's in the ring now. And they botched it. Whoever's fault it was, they botched it. And they ended up in the ropes. And she was trying to pin Shida, but she couldn't because she was in the ropes. And it just sort of fell apart. At that point, it just sort of fell apart. There was a delayed vertical suplex by Shida, turned into a falcon arrow for a near fall, and the running knee strike by Shida wins it. This was not good. This was not a good match. This was not a good match. And, you know, again, I hope that she'll have her chance in this tournament coming up. They're doing this deadly draw tournament. They need women. I would think Diamante would be in it. Maybe Ivelisse. I don't know if Ivelisse is going to be asked back or not, but these last 2 weeks have not been Diamante's best outings on TV. And unfortunately, tonight, things just sort of fell apart. Speaking of the deadly draw, it is the women's tournament. We now know that it is kicking off this Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern on the AEW YouTube channel. Here are the rules. The rules for the deadly draw are as follows. I almost said deadly game. Because it's a deadly game. Where's my... I don't have it activated. I was going to sing it. I was going to sing the deadly game song. I won't do that. I'll spare you. Here are the rules. The tournament is a random draw. All competitors must draw a color. It's like color war. I used to do that in camp many years ago. In fact, one year I was the captain for the red team in color war. And we got our asses handed to us. Wasn't my fault, though. It was the kids' fault. A bunch of 7 and 8-year-olds. They fucked it all up. If I were out there, if I was the one hitting, you know, playing wiffle ball and doing all the different things, we would have won the whole thing in a landslide. These little brats couldn't hit a ball for their lives. You should have seen me out there. I was like losing my mind. I'm throwing my hat down. Act like you've played the game. You've never seen a manager rant this way in a game. I'm surprised I didn't get thrown out of the game of wiffle ball. I'm a disciplinarian. That's how I am. So all competitors must draw a color. Matching colors, you become a team. Red begets red, blue begets blue. That's how it's going to work. And the selections are final. They cannot be appealed. Dasha was backstage with Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero. And Dasha asked Nyla who she was looking forward to having as a partner. Vicky said, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who it is. And Nyla drew purple. Dasha said that somebody already had drawn the color purple. And all of a sudden, who comes out but Ariane Andrew. Ariane. You remember Ariane? Ariane. What was her name in WWE? Cameron. Cameron. Cameron from the Funkadactyls is in the Deadly Draw tournament. And she walked into the camera frame and she said, girl, hi. And so it's going to be Nyla Rose and Cameron as a team. AEW has brought Cameron into their women's division. I thought the goal was to improve the women's division. Now, unless Ariane has been wrestling independence the last few years, and maybe now she's improved unbelievably from the last time I saw her, she will always, to me, be the image I will always have of her in my head. Who was she wrestling on Raw when this happened? Was it Alicia Fox? It might have been Alicia Fox. She tried to pin Alicia or whoever it was, but she was like stomach down. She was like face down on the mat, I think, right? And she did some kind of like split leg drop thing, and she's telling the ref, count, and the ref is like, I don't know. She'll never live that down. That and the whole, what's your favorite match? Melina against Alicia Fox. I'm sorry. She'll never live that down. She will never live that down. I don't know. This tournament is going to be a fucking train wreck, I think. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. The women's division has been a weak point on this show. I know they're missing some of the women now, but you know what? That's not even an excuse. This is going to be rough. I saw Cameron out there. I couldn't believe. I was like, you got to be shitting me, really? Oh my God! All right, MJF. Actually, before I get to MJF, Cameron, really? Cameron. Garris Vicarian, Darnell 06, both with the super chats. AF, ASDF, watch Narcos. Narcos Colombia seems dangerous. Oh, he wants to know if Colombia is dangerous. Look, any place is dangerous. There are parts of New York. New York is in shambles right now. You go to certain parts of New York, yeah, it's going to be dangerous. So, of course, Colombia is the same way. We tried to stay away from all that. I think we succeeded for the most part. Until there was a bloodbath in the home that we were staying in. That was my fault. Yes, Colombia can be dangerous if you go to the wrong areas. We had somebody with us kind of guiding us to certain locations to try to avoid that. So that if you're ever going to visit, it's a beautiful country, but you got to make sure you're going to the right places. But you could say that about any country, though, right? Will Robb, the Excalibur situation is very similar to the situation years ago with the gangsters when they cut a racially charged promo, let that man live. Well, similar, but there's one very big difference, though. If you're comparing the gangsters to Excalibur, do I need to say what the big difference is? That's the big difference. But yes, they are similar situations. Exploring with Terry Allen, thank you for the $5. And a Jazz Dev Kaisi at work on my birthday. Thank God for your podcast. Love your sense of humor. Buy or sell, as you are a big fan of both Bret Hart or Bobby Heenan. I can't. You can't force me to choose. You can't force me to choose. I'm going to fuse them together. How about that? Bret Heenan. Bobby Hart. How about that? I'm going to fuse the two of them together. Bret Hart's in-ring ability and Bobby Heenan's wit. Put together, actually, you know what? Bret Hart's in-ring ability and Bobby Heenan's promo ability. Now, that would have been an all-timer. Combine the two. Combine their best features. Turbo, what do you think about Rusev saying that he is done with wrestling and pursuing a career in YouTube and Twitch streaming? Bring it on. Bring it on, Miro. You're in my world now, big boy. Chris Quillman. Solomonster with the red live stream versus the white live stream. Who are you with? Do we still have two? Are there still two streams going on? I haven't checked. Probably, right? Yes, there are. Yes, there are. Actually, you know what? The funny thing is, when you combine the number of people in both streams, we actually have a lot of people here. We have almost 1,000 people between the two streams. I don't know how that happened, but wherever you're listening, thank you. Thank you for sticking with me. The True Heel Master, the Mid-Atlantic, future six-man tag team champions. Yeah, again, I'm telling you, watch. I think that's going to be the name of whatever this new faction is going to be, whoever the members are going to be. Keep an eye out for that, because I like that name, actually. The more I say it, the more I like it. I like it. And JC Zephyr, just want to say what's up, and do you have a favorite snack while you watch wrestling shows? I'm a pretzel guy. So, pretzels. Salted pretzels. Love my carbs. So, that would be my snack of choice. All right, we'll get to the rest of these as we go on. MJF. MJF was here to address the state of the wrestling industry. And he walked out, and they had this all set up like some presidential address. They rolled out the red carpet in the ring for him. They had the red mat. They had flags in the corner. They had a podium in the ring. Wardlow was like his Secret Service agent standing by. And he talked about Jon Moxley. So now there could be no debate now. You knew immediately where this was going, and I said, look, MJF has been number one in the rankings. So when people would ask me, who do you see Moxley fighting next at All Out, it had to be MJF, because it's the natural match. MJF, I think, is unbeaten this year in singles matches. He's number one in the rankings. He's the star of the future in this company. So he seemed to be a shoo-in for the next number one contender spot in the match with Moxley at the next pay-per-view. And so that's really what this segment was designed to do. It was designed to set all of that up. He name-dropped Stone Cold at one point. He was just dropping little references in, and he was accusing Moxley of cosplaying as a wrestler and cosplaying as a version of Stone Cold Steve Austin. And he talked about the ratings and how his segments draw better than Dictator John. He called him Dictator John. Said, it's time for a new guard. I'm going to carry this company for the next 25 years. And they started playing his music. It sounded like he was going a little long, and they were like, all right, let's give him the end sign here. So at the very end, he quickly finished what he was saying, which is to challenge Jon Moxley. That was the whole point of the segment. He squeezed it in there at the very end as they cut him off. So this was he was campaigning. He was campaigning to be the next AEW champion. We are in a presidential election year. And so he was out there, MJF 2020 signs. He was campaigning to be the next AEW champion. But it was funny because they cut him off here. You would think it was like the Oscars. Like, they play the music to like get you off the stage. I felt like that's what they were doing here with him at the end of this segment. It's the right move to make. It's the natural next match for Moxley, although it is not the next challenger that Moxley is defending the championship against, which brings us to the main event. Jon Moxley and Darby Allin against Brian Cage and Absolute Ricky Starks. Tornado tag team match. We got to hear Ricky Starks cutting a promo here before his very first Dynamite debut. Ricky Starks has been around here for like a cup of coffee, and all of a sudden he's in his first Dynamite main event. That's pretty cool. But we got to hear him cut a promo in the back. So before they came out, Darby Allin was nowhere to be found. Darby's music played. Nobody came out. Jon Moxley came out. And now it's going to be Jon Moxley, I guess, in a handicap match against Brian Cage and Ricky Starks. So in the back, Taz is cutting a promo. He hands it off to Ricky Starks. So now it's just Ricky and Brian Cage. Cage doesn't say anything because that's the best role for him. Just stand there. And Ricky Starks cut a promo. And again, I've told you people, if you weren't watching Ricky Starks on NWA Power, hopefully now you have a little bit of insight into what is so appealing about him. It's not... Yeah, he's a good wrestler, but he's got charisma. The guy's got charisma for days. There's something about his cadence and the way he cuts promos. I could listen to a Ricky Starks promo all day. The guy's really good. And we got a small glimpse of that here on this show. So they come out, and as they're coming out through the entrance tunnel, who comes out from the top of the tunnel? It was a setup. Who jumps off the top of the coffin drop? Darby Allin. And since it's a tornado match, there's no rules. So the brawl begins. And it was a garbage brawl. There were some weapons involved. There was a really cool spot in here where I don't think he caught him, but he either caught Moxley or he picked up Moxley horizontally. So Cage has Moxley. Darby Allin, I think, came off the top and he caught Darby. So he's got Moxley horizontally, and he's got Darby in like a powerbomb position. He's holding these two guys up at the same time, and he slams them down. That was a cool spot. I like that. I like that. Moxley hit a pile driver on Cage for a near fall, drilled him right into the mat. Cross arm breaker. Starks breaks it up, kick to the face. So Starks is grabbing a trash can. He's got the trash can. He and Cage go to suplex Moxley onto it. And it's turned into an Alabama slam onto the can for a near fall. Darby out of nowhere. Here comes Darby Allin. He was knocked out for a while, but here he comes out of nowhere. And Starks is beating him down. He's laying in the right-hand shots on Darby. And we get to the end here. Let me just get to the real key point here, which was the finish, which was pretty crazy. I did not see this finish coming. So Darby Allin grabs the skateboard. He's got a skateboard every time he comes out. Darby Allin grabs a skateboard. But on the underbelly of the skateboard, on the bottom of the skateboard, are thumbtacks. So we've seen like the thumbtack boot gimmick with the Young Bucks, where there'll be thumbtacks on the bottom of their boot, right? We've seen that before. This was thumbtacks on the bottom of the skateboard. And Cage tried to get back into the ring and make the save, but as he did, I think Moxley put him in a cross arm breaker on the apron. Darby, and once I saw Ricky was bent over backwards, I knew where this was going, and Darby jumped up and put the skateboard under his feet and smashed it right down on Ricky Starks' back. And he tore the shit out of this guy's back. I mean, blood was just pouring down. Poor Ricky Starks' back. He's screaming in agony. And Darby covers him and gets the win. If he kicked out of that fucking thing, I was going to flip out. If you are going to kick out of a skateboard bump with thumbtacks on the bottom of the skateboard that rip your back open to shreds, and you're going to kick out, I was going to turn the show off. That would have been one near fall too many for me, but thankfully he got the win. So Darby and Moxley get the win. Poor Ricky Starks, his back, he's been disfigured. But this was a fun match. I thought as far as the tornado rules really helped, really worked, and I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the main event. Now next week, we're getting Cody and Cardona against Reynolds and Silver of the Dark Order. 12-man tag, the Elite, as I mentioned before, against FTR. Or the Elite and FTR against all the members of the Dark Order. We're getting the Super Wednesday debate between Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy. And Jon Moxley is going to defend the AEW Championship. The word came down from Tony Khan right as they were going off the air that Moxley is going to defend the AEW Championship against Darby Allin, who is the number five contender. So if you go by the AEW rankings, I don't know who's 2, 3, and 4. I would imagine Cody is on there, but Cody can't fight for the title. Jericho's probably on there. Who else would be on there? Maybe Omega. Maybe Kenny Omega. But it's interesting to me that Darby Allin is number five. And he's next in line for a title shot. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. I think it's going to be a really fun match. We've seen Moxley in the ring with Darby before. It's a big match, you know, to sign as your main event. But they went out of their way to mention that Darby is number five, and yet he is getting the next shot at the championship. And I thought that was very odd. But he was pointing at Moxley when the match was over. So you knew that that was probably the direction they were going to go in. Rankings-wise, though, I just thought it was a little strange. A little strange. Let me show some love to Food Hive and Turbo and Rican's son. I think we're all caught up now, all you crazy SLBs. So let's see what you guys thought of the shows tonight. There we go. We got SMD in the chat says, number one always gets the pay-per-view match. Well, that's true. That's true. I guess my issue was, then why wouldn't number two or number three get the next shot on TV? Why would it be number five? That was my question. But Dynamite 80 up, 20 down, 1,200 votes in so far, and NXT, about 62% thumbs up, 38% thumbs down. with about 660 votes in at the moment. So you can vote at Solomonster is the place to go. If you have not yet cast your vote, let me know your thoughts, what you thought of the shows tonight. Again, there is the AEW poll, and that is where things stand at the moment. Now, for those of you who would like to call into the stream, I will take a quick pause here. So grab a drink or grab some pretzels, my favorite snack. And we're going to come back and just take a few of your phone calls here before we wrap it up. And then I have a little something to say at the end, because tomorrow is a big day for me personally. So I just want to, I'll talk about that at the very end here. We're not going to go that much longer because I don't want to keep you guys up all night. But just give me a moment here so I can connect and we can get the calls all set up. And then we'll be back in just a moment on both streams. Don't go away. And we're back. See, I told you I'd come back. I wasn't going to leave you in a lurch. If you are joining late, we were 25 minutes delayed. I was having connection issues. I couldn't get the stream started. And now we have two streams going. How the fuck that happened, I have no idea. But we have two streams going now. I guess two is better than none, right? So anyway, the phone number is on your screen. We'll take a few calls here before we wrap up. Again, thank you for sticking with me. I know a lot of people dropped off and went to other streams. So, and I get that. That's cool. Those people know what the fuck they're doing. I don't, apparently. So, but thank you to everybody who stuck around. Oofman Entertainment with the disappointed Solomonster Super Chat. Rankings, MJF 1, Archer, there you go, Lance Archer number 2, Brian Cage 3, Brody Lee 4, Darby Allin 5. Okay, I guess, it must have changed more than I thought. I thought Jericho was still on that list somewhere. I thought Jericho was still on there, but I guess not. The lines are filling up, so why don't we get the show on the road here, and we are going to begin. I think this might be our friend Chris. Chris, you there?
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Monster?
Hey, what's going on, Chris?
Hey, how you been? I ain't talked to you in a little while.
I've been better. I'm not thrilled about what happened here at the beginning of the stream, but you know, I got you on now, so it's all good.
Hey, it's all good. We were having a lot of fun at your expense. Sorry about that.
Well, good. At least you were able to have fun in some way.
I don't know. It seems a little 50-50 in the chat, but I enjoyed it. Maybe I'm just a mark for AEW. I don't know. Maybe MJF was actually talking to me earlier. But I did enjoy it. And I got to say, too, as much as we dog the Dark Order, I actually really enjoyed that match tonight. I thought it was actually a really good match. I thought they did pretty good themselves, too.
Yeah, I mean, I said before, I think I enjoyed that match more than I did the opening match, the big 10-man tag.
Yeah, I think so too. If I had to compare, probably there's a lot more entertainment going that way of the normal tag match. But I wanted to ask you though. So they're having this tournament, this women's tournament.
Yes.
Do you think maybe that's a way of them trying to test out whether you know they can bring some women's tag belts into the scene? Or
I hope not.
What do you think about that?
No, I hope not. I mean, it could
be. No, I do too. Yeah, yeah.
No. I think what's going on here, from what I understand, is they're looking to make this potentially an annual thing. So think along the lines of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic on NXT. And they're going to try it out, and they're going to see how it goes and what the response is to it. If it goes well, they'll make it an annual thing. And if it doesn't, then it'll be one and done. Now, the Dusty Rhodes one, the winners in the end get a tag team title match. I don't believe that's the plan here. I think the plan is just for the winners to get a cup. But it's just meant to be something that can help kill some, I guess, TV time, but just be a special annual event and not necessarily lead to women's tag belts, because I just think that would be, I think that's way premature. I mean, I don't even know that WWE needs women's tag belts. Look at the way they're treating their women. Or women, I should say.
Oh, yeah.
I should say the women's tag belts. I mean, now, because they're on Sasha and Bayley, because they're so prominently featured on the show, they kind of feel important. But really, before that, they were just the giant paperweights. I mean, they weren't treated like anything. And I don't trust that AEW is going to be able to bring in women's tag titles and have them feel any more special. So I think it's way too early to be talking about that. Now, the idea of having trios titles is an idea that I've thought about and I've heard other people talk about, and that could be men. Men or women. I'm thinking more in terms of the men, just because there's more, you know, there's mm-hmm. so many, I feel like we see so many trios matches on this show. We had that in Lucha Underground, and I was a big fan, actually, of that. So if they wanted to consider doing something like that, fine. But women's tag belts, that's a thumbs down for me.
Yeah, I actually, a couple weeks ago, I was trying to call in. I was going to ask you about the trio thing, mm-hmm. But I know probably coronavirus would kind of put an end to that for right now. But, like, my whole thing was that they have all, exactly what you just said, they have all these trios, and I think a trio, or and factions, I think a trio belts would be pretty interesting, and it would separate them. It would separate, you know, it'd be a very distinct thing from WWE. But yeah, I have no interest in seeing, I'll be honest with you. I think if they're jumping the gun on a women's tag tournament, I think they really need to strengthen their women's division before they even think that way yet. But I mean, hey, it's just my opinion. I mean, they got some good chicks over there. Really, Penelope Ford.
Uh-oh, you're going to be canceled now for saying that. It's time to cancel Chris, everybody. Everybody in the chat, type cancel Great. Chris. Cancel Chris.
Great, I just got over. What the hell?
Well, that's you just great. Killed you. You Wonderful. Just killed your career, buddy.
Great. Wonderful.
You just All right. killed your career.
All right. Well, that's all I really was wanting to know. And I'm kind of glad I got that trios question in there, to which you actually answered before I could even ask. So that's great too. And always love to talk about some Lucha Underground.
Always. Always.
Fit that in there.
Well, listen. I'm
you have a good
you,
night.
I'm going to let you go, but thank you for all your support, man. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. You have a good one.
All right, you too. You hear that, everybody? Cancel Chris. That's the new hashtag in the chat. Poor Chris, man. You say one wrong thing. You say one wrong thing, and that could be the end of you. Cancel Chris. Chris will always have a home here on the stream, though. Even if other people cancel him, he's always welcome here. Always welcome here. The True Heel Master with the $10. Russo on a pole drop. Too much TV time for the elite. Too much emphasis on female talent outside the U.S. Booking for the same women every week on TV has hurt the women's division. Yeah, I mean, it's been a while, and the women's division, I like Sheeta as the champion. But it's just, they can't get out of that second gear. Maybe when Britt Baker is back in action. Maybe when the doctor is back and Swole is back from her storyline suspension. Maybe things will be different. Because remember, they took Big Swole and they sat her at home for no reason. It seemed kind of silly to me. Let's go to 651.
What is up, Salt Monster? The Wednesday night delight, your favorite Rican son 21.
Rican son, one of my favorite people in the world. What's going on, Rican?
You know, just chilling, drinking some wine, enjoying the night.
Wow, busting out the wine now. No, wait a minute. Hold on a second now. Are we talking red or are we talking white?
It's Carl Rossi Moscato Sangria, so it's like a green.
A green wine?
I don't know. It looks green, so I guess white.
You know, that could be a sign that the wine maybe is no good. If I go to eat something and it's green, I'm probably throwing it away. Although your green wine does go well with the color scheme here. Got the green light in the background. We got the green layout. So you've got your green wine.
Exactly.
You might have a rough morning, but for now you're doing okay.
I am living.
Green wine. Are you sure you're not drinking that ooze stuff from that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie? Remember with the canisters? Remember that? Secret of the Ooze?
I never saw the originals. I only saw like the Michael Bay ones. No offense. I was too young for those.
How old are you?
Remember, it was my birthday last week, 24.
24. Oh, boy. Yeah, you are young. Well, my suggestion to you, I mean, forget the Michael Bay ones. Go watch the original one from 1990. It's actually kind of a dark movie. The second one was really silly, but I liked it. It's got the Vanilla Ice thing, ninja rap. I would play it for you now, but then I would be demonetized, so I won't do that. But yeah, forget the Michael Bay.
I heard the third one sucked.
Yeah, don't watch the third one. The third one, they're like samurais. They go back in time. Fuck the third one. But go back and watch the first two. Forget Michael Bay. Go back and watch the original two.
I might have to. Everyone tells me I need to.
Yes, you should.
I'll say this. The show sucked. Like, the opening match, didn't care for. Warhorse, generic, boring. Looked like a SmackDown Shut Your Mouth created superstar that I made when I was 8. MJF was the highlight, and that was about it. Like, nothing was that good.
So there was nothing on the show that really stood out to you that you thought as being good or very good?
Just MJF. That promo was good. It was a pipe bomb speech.
So you didn't like the main event?
I'll be honest, I wasn't really watching it. I got distracted with the Yankee game. I was watching both at the same time.
Turbo in the chat says, cancel this guy. He's not impressed with your opinion that the show sucked tonight.
It was just, okay, like, to me, it not really sucked, but it was just very underwhelming from last week,
yeah,
where it was, like, the best show in such a long time.
I would agree. No, I think sucked is a little strong. I think, compared to last week, it's what I said at the beginning. I just didn't think it had the same energy. It didn't have the same vibe. Like, as the show was going on last week, I'm like, man, this show is, like, boom, 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 one thing after another. There was, like, this sense of urgency. There was a lot of fun stuff in the show. And this week it was kind of like back down to reality. And the reality of Dynamite is that most weeks it is a good or very good show. Last week, though, I thought was just an excellent show. And so this was kind of like, it was a come down from last week. I don't think it sucked. I wouldn't go that far. But yeah, it was definitely missing something. I thought last week's show was better for sure. So you and I are in agreement on that.
And then I don't know how to word it properly, but like the question is like, since AEW is young, and I guess like for the future, like if we have multiple champions too close, would that ruin the importance of the title? Instead of, let's say Moxley beats MJF, he holds it for until the end of the year, and then someone beats him, and then let's say like 5 years from now, someone wins it, and they're like the fifth. They're only the fifth guy to win the title. Would that make it like more important in the wrestling industry?
No, I mean, with the titles, I mean, it's a weird thing. Like, you can have too many titles, right? If you have too many titles, then it just kind of feels like they don't feel as special. If you change titles too often, you don't want to be doing that. I think with their title situation right now, you know, Cody is doing the open challenge stuff, which I like. I know not everybody is a fan of that. Sheeta, I think, they had an off night tonight, but Sheeta is a great representative, I think, in that women's division. Hangman and Omega, they're not going to be the champs for that much longer, right? To me, it's just a matter of time, and it's probably going to be FTR that they drop them to. And maybe it All Out, actually. Maybe that match will be it All Out. They hold off on the Bucks match until later in the year. And then you've got Moxley, who's been the champion for a while. Cage has the FTW title, but what does that really mean? Is he going to really be, you know, defending it? So, I mean, you know, I said before about trios belts, I wouldn't mind them, but I don't even know necessarily that they need them. I think you could wait a little while before you introduce any new titles. Anyway, that's just my kind of train of thought stuff on championships in this company right now.
Well, since you said that, we might be fucked since, you know, Matt Cardona just signed and he has the internet title. So there's another title on the roster.
Yeah. Well, we don't need that. We don't need the internet title. Yeah.
And then I have two more questions. The other one is, for me, I feel like Taz kind of bothers me on commentary. Like, he's very good.
Taz, you know,
he does his shit. But, like, yeah, he's good. But, like, since he is the manager of, like, Brian Cage, it kind of takes me out, like, when he's just acting normal instead of kind of like that tough son of a bitch he does during his promos.
It doesn't bother me. And, again, you're a youngin', so here's old man Solomonster now going back in time. But, you know, when I was growing up, a young buck watching these shows, Bobby Heenan was the color commentator. And before he retired and he wasn't managing anymore, he was managing everybody. But he would go and he would do commentary. And, you know, he was the heel. Taz really isn't, they don't really push him too much as a heel. I think Taz is very entertaining and he's very good. The times that I listened to him and Excalibur on Dark, they have a good rapport together. But I think because I grew up on that, like with somebody like a Bobby Heenan, who was still managing Mr. Perfect and Rick Rude and the Brainbusters and all these people, and then he would just go back to the announce booth and just commentate. To me, that's not a big deal. But I guess if you're not used to it, I could see where maybe it would be a little awkward.
I'm more used to, like, you know, 2011 Michael Cole, Aces and H-Taz, where it's like the heel of the faction is just always fucking negative about the show.
Oh, God, the Aces and Eights. That's right. Ugh. Thanks a lot for that memory.
My bad. One last question, real quick. Shout out to the chat. Shout out to the Essential Jockasses. We love the chat. We love all of you. How do you feel about the Mets so far, even though it's been only like 5 games? Do you think they're doing good, or what should they improve on?
I think, we've already had a few maddening moments, especially those first couple of games with the Mets. I think they're doing okay so far. It's still a little early to know where it's going to go. I'm still curious to see how this baseball season is going to play out, given the whole situation with the Marlins. I mean, they seem to be, of course, it's fucking Florida, right? That it would be a Florida team that this would happen to. But who knows if it starts spreading to other teams? I mean, I wonder if we'll even make it through an entire season. But it's too early for me to give my opinion of the Mets. I haven't seen enough. I just like that baseball is back. You know, if they could do it safely and kind of keep things the way they are, great. We have the best announcers in all of baseball. I am being biased right now. I am being partial, but I don't give a shit. Gary Cohen, Keith Hernandez, and Ron Darling are the best. They're the best trio of announcers for any baseball team anywhere in Major League Baseball, bar none. So the fact that I get to hear their voice and, you know, the interaction with them on TV is something. I've almost missed that as much as I missed the baseball games themselves, just listening to those three. Maybe we can get those guys on Monday Night Raw. They'd go running out of that performance center screaming after one show. But that's my thoughts on that. I feel like even if you're not a baseball fan, if you listen to those three guys, you would enjoy them. You would enjoy Gary, Keith, and Ron, the best trio, better than the Shield. 3-2-3.
Oh, hey there. Oh, it's me again.
It's you.
My breath this time.
It's you. Who is you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm the caller who called in about like a month ago, who had a small little asthma attack, asking about the AEW wrestlers who were released from WWE.
I see.
My name is Cyril. I'm sorry.
There you go. That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Hi there. Sorry to hear about your Wi-Fi problems. I feel you 100% on that one.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. What are you going to do?
So one of the things I wanted to ask is, so this, I guess, kind of addressing the elephant in the room. While everyone has these debates about ratings, about NXT and AEW, fact of the matter is that the ratings where they are now aren't as high as they were at the beginning, which I think is completely understandable. But I guess considering that they've kind of felt kind of stagnant for the past couple months, I guess I wanted to ask is, I guess, what direction do you think they should go in to try to increase those ratings? Because while, again, they're not bad right now, I would think that the network that they're on would like to see a progressive growth within the upcoming years. And I guess, what direction do you think the show should go on to progress in that direction?
Well, I mean, you know, we keep hearing now that Vince McMahon he sees the need to create new stars. And hey, for his sake, I hope it's not too little too late. It's not an easy thing to do. You know, when you have a show, yeah, you know, I heard the comments that Eric Young made, and it's easy to look at somebody like that and go, who's Eric Young? You know, what did he ever do in WWE? He was at the level he would have been at anyway. Who cares what he thinks? But, you know, he was there for a few years, and he had conversations with Vince McMahon, and he knew about and felt the frustrations of that system. And there's a lot of truth in what he had to say. He was on Busted Open. He was talking to Chris Van Vliet. And the common thread was, everything runs through this one person. And he wants everybody to more or less just kind of be the same and talk the same way. And it's just there's a certain formula that he doesn't want to break from. And I kind of fear that even if one day he woke up and he pulled his head out of his rear end and said, my God, you know, we've got to create new stars. We've got to just blow the whole thing up. if it's the same system that you're expecting these people to kind of get over in, I don't know that anything's ever going to change. And I don't like to think that way, because, I mean, this guy could be sitting back there in the gorilla position for another 30 years. I'm convinced that Vince McMahon is going to outlive us all. And he's never going to quit.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, he's never going to retire. Can you see Vince McMahon sitting on his cottage somewhere in his old age, just kind of feeding the birds? No, he's going to want to work, and he's going to want to, you know, he's throwing bread at the birds. No, I can't ever picture Vince McMahon doing that. I mean, that's...
I can picture it now.
Well, you know, maybe if he ever goes senile and loses his mind, maybe. You know, but so unless there's just an attitude change from the very top, I don't know if any of it even matters. You know, they'll create a new star here and there, but it's like the follow through is every bit as important. You know, we see Ali come back on Raw 2 weeks ago, and yeah, he got a win that night. He pinned MVP in that big six-man tag, and on television the next week, you know, on Monday night, I'm watching this and I'm thinking, all right, him and Lashley, let's see what happens here. And I know Lashley is a bigger guy and a stronger guy, but they gave the guy 90 seconds of offense. You know, he was basically squashed like a bug. And I thought to myself, maybe Ali is never going to be the WWE champion, although maybe he could be. But even if he's not, so what? Like, you're just cutting this guy's legs off from underneath him, and you're just telling people, like, don't, you know, buy into it, because he's not the guy that is meant to feel special. But I don't know. Like, the guy was gone for 7 months. You had a chance to just start fresh, and now he's just kind of right back where he was before. And it's that kind of thing that just it frustrates me. So what can they do?
I think it frustrates me all a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, so to answer your question, what could they do? They're limited because of the whole COVID thing in terms of, like, all the options I think that normally would be available to them. This stuff about SummerSlam maybe being at the beach and all that. Like, I like that kind of stuff if they want to do that, but that's not going to bring new viewers in. You got to create new stars. You got to give people a reason to want to watch a show every week. When people were tuning in 20 years ago to see The Rock and Triple H and Stone Cold and DX and all that kind of stuff, you know, even something as stupid as The Oddities were, like, over. You know, it was like a fun, on most weeks, it was like a fun show to watch. Get the fun back into Monday Night Raw. You know, get the fun back into Monday Night Raw. To do that, you need characters. Fun characters and fun stories. And there's very little fun on that show. That Seth Rollins, the Messiah, is for the greater good. What the fuck does that mean? It's for the greater good. What does that mean? Like, it's stupid. It's forced. Like, what? The greater what? What does that mean? It's a fucking show. Like, the greater good. What does that mean? I'm going to put people's eyes out on the steel steps. Why? Why? Like, you should have been a fucking optometrist or something. I mean, like, what, the greater good. What does that mean? So it's just stupid, just nonsense.
No, like, I agree.
It's just dumb.
Yeah.
It's just dumb. Anyway, I hope that answers your question here. I know people are going to get angry if we don't, if I don't move on and talk about AEW. But anyway, I hope that at least answers your question somewhat.
Yeah, it does. Thank you very much. Sorry.
All right, thank you. And call back again. I want to hear from you again in the future. That was a good question. But yeah, I mean, am I wrong in that? Like, you know, we watch this, well, I mean, most of you probably don't, but because you people are smart. I'm the dumb one who watches that shit every single week. And, you know, the guy comes out there and he's got this music. Oh, like, his music sucks. And he comes out and he's the greater good. You know, it's the greater good. What does that mean? What are you talking about? 347, I hope you have a question for the greater good.
Actually, I don't. Your guess is as good as mine.
Oh, my goodness.
Jason, this is, once again, this is Casanova King.
Casanova.
You live from New York.
Casanova King
from New York.
Back at
it again.
Well, you know, us New Yorkers, we know how to be Casanovas, you know. Rico Suave.
There you go. You took the words right out of my mouth, man. Mm-hmm. We're Bobby Heenan. We're Heenan and Mr. Perfect. There we go.
Well, I'm Heenan, and you're Mr. Perfect.
Hey, I don't got no problem with that.
Good.
I have no problem with that. I can everything I do is perfect. But let's about AEW tonight. it was a missed show, man. It was, you know, it left a lot to be desired, pretty much. I was expecting more from the opening match. I really wasn't feeling it, especially when Luchasaurus.
Either. Yeah, I didn't either. And his
mask
fell. Yeah, that reminded me of remember the awful Saudi Arabia show where everything went wrong in that main event with the Brothers of Destruction against DX? And Kane is on the top rope.
Yeah, and Kane's mask.
And his mask falls. Yeah. His wig and his mask just fall to the floor, and he's like covering up and everything. Like he's a fucking luchador. Like we've never seen what the guy looks like before. You would think that he was like wrestling in CMLL, and then, you know, his face, it was some great disgrace if we saw what he looked like. We've seen the fucking guy in a mask for years. Oh, I got to cover up. Give me a fucking break.
And you're like, wait a minute. They're going to think, like, wait a minute. Ain't that Isaac Yankum? Is Kane all this time? Yeah. What?
So he had his Kane moment here tonight.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. And he kept fumbling with it, and it just knocked off everything. But I think tonight's show was pretty off because of what happened with Excalibur, the whole Excalibur situation. I think that really threw it off. It may have been something late that they just pulled him. So I gotta agree with you. Like it was kind of just thrown off after that. Everything else was, like I said, was just hit and miss. The main event was okay. I didn't care much for how the ending, how Darby Allin's getting a title shot. Like he's number five, and I was like, wait. How's the number five getting a shot over the number one contender? I don't know.
Well, keep in mind also
can
the fact...
Can you help me figure that out?
No, I can't. And here's the other thing, too, right? So you have a company here. And look, I mean, if you're going to have rankings and you're going to talk about, you know, taking things like this seriously, then I think it's a valid criticism. Number one, yeah, he is number five in the rankings. But think about this. He was out since May. With an injury, right? Or a storyline injury, right? In the casino ladder match, Cage beat him up or he took a bad bump, whatever it was. And so he only made his in-ring return last week. He returned in action, I think, in a match on Dark. And then here we are now this week, and he wins in a tag match, but he's getting an AEW title match. So you can argue, like, what has he even done recently to really deserve the opportunity. Now, I don't have a problem if they want to do a big match. That's kind of a big match to do, but does it make sense? No, it really doesn't make that much sense.
Not at all. I think MJF would definitely make himself very known during that match that he's not too pleased with that. And another thing regarding who Britt Baker is going to pick, I think it's going to be Awesome Kong because we haven't seen her in a very long time. I completely forgot she signed with AEW, so it might be Awesome Kong. Or she's calling herself AEW.
That could be. I mean, I don't really see her doing much wrestling. I think she was doing the Glow filming, I think, for the last season. But yeah, even when they had her before, I know she's had some back problems. And when she was in AEW before, she wasn't really getting a lot of match time. So could they bring her in to just kind of put over Swole? Yeah, I could see that. That's a possibility. Makes more sense than Nyla. I mean, you don't want to beat Nyla just yet, so.
Yeah, right.
Cool.
But yeah, then, like I said, the show was just... I'm going to let you go. Shout out to the chat. Shout out to Turtlehead. Oof, man. You know, the rest of the chat. Luis, we saw you in the chat, bro. We miss you. You got to call in, man. Luis for president. And Jason, have a good one. Stay safe. Wear a mask.
Well, if I wear one, I'll try to make sure it doesn't fall off.
No, don't put a lucha douche. Don't put a lucha douche.
No, I'll try not to. All right, I'm going to let you go. Thank you, my friend.
All right, later, man.
All right. Although I do question his judgment. Did he just say Luis for president? Oh, by the way, that reminds me. And I didn't see Luis in the chat, so if he was there, shout out to him. But the last time he called in, because he calls into the stream occasionally, and yeah, I take his call. And, he's in the Facebook group, and he's quite the character. But I just want to clarify something, because there were people who thought that he was a female. And I think the reason they thought he was a female is the fact that they thought I was saying Louise. Because last time I had him on, I had so many messages from people saying, oh, my God, tell Louise to get... I'm like, Louise? I'm like, what are you talking about? And then it hit me like, oh, I said, no, his name is not Luis. His name is Luis. I have to enunciate that more. So for weeks, you had people thinking that this poor guy's name was Luis. In fact, it is not Luis. It's Luis. Big difference. Very big difference. We all love Luis. But whoever Luis is, we love her as well. We have a lot of love for Luis. 813. This could be Luis.
Hello?
Is this Luis?
No. This is Roman from Florida.
Ah, darn. Okay. I'm just kidding. Although that would be a great gimmick, actually, in wrestling. Jeez Louise. That could be a great wrestling character. Anyway, what's up? What's going on?
All right, yeah. I was just watching the show tonight. It wasn't special like last week, but I enjoyed it. So I had a question about the tournament, the women's tournament. And I was thinking that if anything, they could use this tournament to, like, build at least, I guess, two stars. I was thinking the two that make it to the finals, and this way they can start building their women's division. Like, maybe they'll start a storyline with the two women that win. And I don't know. I feel like that way, if it does become an annual thing, they can keep these tournaments going to make new stars and stuff, because I do feel that the women's division is pretty weak, and they only have, like, a few stars. And I really want to see the women's division get better, because when I see WWE, their women's division does a lot better than even their men's division. And I feel like AEW could get there if they can really use this opportunity. And, you know, they don't, you know, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think they got a ways to go if they want to get to that point. Could they get there eventually? Yeah, I mean, you just got to build it up more. You got to do a better job of building it up and getting the right talent. You know, my fear, they were the first team announced, is that it's a vehicle to build to a Brandi Rhodes Allie win. You know, they're the Nightmare Sisters now. I don't need to see the Nightmare Sisters going on to win. I don't need to see Cameron and Nyla Rose going on to win. But I like the idea of using the tournament to, create maybe a couple of new female stars, depending on who they bring in. You know, I'd love to see Abaddon in there. Abaddon is some kind of, like, odd couple pairing with, I would say, Britt Baker. I don't expect Britt Baker to be in this, though, but I think that would be an amazing pairing. Can you imagine Britt Baker finding out that her and Abaddon have to be tag team partners? That'd be fucking amazing.
Yeah, I think. Well, the thing I was thinking was they don't necessarily have to build a women's division. I think they can do that later on. But I was thinking maybe you could have, you know, the two women that do win, you know, get into a feud or something. Because if you do go with Abaddon and Britt Baker, you could have an odd pairing for a while, and obviously they could have a good program together, something like that.
Yeah, I just don't think the timing is going to work. Yeah, I just don't think the timing will work because she's out with the injury. But
yeah,
in a perfect world, that would have been a very entertaining pairing. But like you said, the two key things I hope to get out of this: number one, if they can really put, like, a new female star or two on the map, that would be great. But coming out of it, you've got to have at least one, if not a couple of different stories. I would hope it's not just a tournament that's kind of like in a bubble, so to speak, and it ends and that's it. Coming out of this, there has to be something coming out of it, right? You know. Some kind of feud.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I agree. Hopefully we'll be able to get that. But
all right. I have one more question that has to do with the AEW title picture.
Okay.
You know, John Moxley being champion has kind of been not a letdown, but it hasn't really been exciting. It may be due to the fact that we haven't seen him all that much on AEW, but I feel like I think it's coming close to where I feel like his title end should end. Not necessarily because he's not been a good champion. I just feel like we need somebody who can be, you know, very good at, I don't know, giving the title more prestige, because I feel like somebody who holds the title should be really good at promo work, not just in ring. And I'm not saying that John Moxley is bad. I'm just saying he's not been around doing that kind of thing to add that level of charisma to the belt. I don't know. I haven't seen it. And I feel like Brian Cage, they've kind of been killing him recently with the, I mean, it's too early to say, but I feel like they should really build him up, you know, with the FTW title and later on, maybe he can challenge for it again. But I don't know if you would keep John Moxley champion for that long. And I don't see MJF winning either. I just don't see anybody taking it from him who can really, you know, carry that belt. And it's not like John Moxley was doing that well anyways.
Well, Omega, Paige. I mean, they have people.
Yeah.
They have people. Cody, eventually, when they figure out how they can kind of work him back into the title picture, I'm okay with keeping him away from that belt for maybe even another year. I wouldn't say they don't. I wouldn't say they don't have anybody. And actually, you know, Moxley's promo work I think it's been pretty strong. You know, some of the promos he's done in recent weeks, even the one earlier tonight on the show. I think he's hurt by not having the fans to play off of. So we have a lot of promos.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest
thing. We have a lot of promos from him, you know, in the back or on location, and I still think he does a good job, but, you know, it's almost the way I would kind of describe it over the years, like in WWE, picture whoever was on top at the time as the big babyface champion. And if you want to go back to Austin and Rock, that's fine, but I hate to keep using them in examples. But you always come out for the obligatory promo, and you get that big reaction, and you're feeding off the fans, and I think that's hurting him a little bit because he can't go out there in front of a hot crowd and play off of them, which he's really good at doing.
That is true.
So I think that goes to why you feel maybe a little bit about why you feel the way that you feel, I think has to do with that.
Well, I watched him on WWE and I just feel like maybe you should get, I don't know if it should be a heel, but I feel like anybody who's really good at promo work should be champion now. Since there's no fans, you know, someone who could carry it without fans for now. And then maybe have Moxley be the first two-time champ if he ever loses it.
Maybe. But I don't hate on his promos as much right now.
No, I don't think they're bad. I just think somebody with, you know, I would think MJF, but I think it's a little too early for that.
Probably. Yeah, I still like the idea of waiting. And maybe you could try to build to Moxley and maybe a heel Kenny Omega. You know, if they pull the trigger on an Omega heel turn.
Yeah, I really like that idea.
Yeah, why not? Omega, like one year.
And then maybe Hangman Page taking it off Omega.
That was my whole thing a week or two ago. You know, I really like the idea of, you know, maybe one year later at Full Gear in November. They had that lights out unsanctioned match last year. Moxley won. Now Moxley is the champion. If Omega goes heel and breaks away from Hangman in the next couple of months, he'd have to work his way back into the top five. But maybe Omega gets the win back and he takes the title off Moxley. And like you said, they eventually now can do the slow build to Omega and Hangman sometime next year. So why not? I think that would be a great idea.
Yeah. All right. That was all my questions. So
awesome.
Thank you for listening. Yeah. Have a nice night.
Thank you. You too. I think that would be a fine succession plan for the AEW championship. You know, Moxley to Omega. Omega can defend it against a few people and then eventually get the big match with Hangman. So Omega ends up being the one who turns, not Hangman. I would love to think that by then we get some crowds back, even if it's at reduced capacity, because Hangman's another one, man. He was getting over so well. Darby Allin, he was getting over so big in front of these crowds. And these having crowds like that of people chanting your name and going crazy when your music hits, man, that goes part and parcel with what makes you feel like a major star, right? I mean, that's why we talk about the importance of the audience. It's not just the audience, but it is a very big part. I would say the audience is as big as someone's entrance music. When you think of all the different parts that come together to make a star who they are, like the glass shattering with Austin, or pick anybody else you want to pick, and those guys are hurt, you know, a little bit at least. They're hurt by not having that. So by the time they get to that match next year, if they did it, maybe we get people back, and Hangman could go on to become not just the champion. He could end up becoming the number one star in the company. I think he has the potential to do that. So will they get there? That is the question. Will they be able to get there? Let's take a few more. But before we do, we had a few more super chats come on in, because you guys have been very good with the super. I'm sure we lost a whole bunch of super chats tonight, but that's my fault. Connor Schnabitz How's the new internet provider? It was good up until tonight, and then I don't know what happened. But up until tonight, it's been good. So it's only been 2 days, but it's been good so far. The Heel Master, Judge Solomonster. I'm from West Philadelphia, born and raised. On the playground is where I spent most of my days. Well, that's awesome. Chilling out, Max, and relaxing all cool and all, shooting some b-ball outside of the school. Yeah, man. You know, I heard a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in the neighborhood. And you got in one little fight, and your mom got scared and said you're moving with your auntie and uncle to Bella in Bel Air. And you whistled for a cab, and when it came near, the license plate had freshened, had dice in the mirror. If anything, I could say that this cab was where, but I thought, nah, forget it. You're home to Bel Air. You didn't think I knew the song, did you? You trying to get one over on me? Because that doesn't work. I'm a child of the 90s. You should know better. Next time I'm going to sing the Perfect Strangers theme song to you. I'm going to teach you kids a lesson about what real television theme songs used to be like. All the songs today suck. Reconson, how do the Nielsen ratings work? I've never understood it. They are tough to understand. You know, we had 1.5 million viewers for Monday Night Raw a couple weeks ago. And people didn't understand. How does that equate to a 1.15 Nielsen rating? It's too late for me to even attempt to explain it. And I don't even think I'm fully versed in exactly why the numbers are computed the way they are. It's not the easiest thing in the world to know, but it is definitely too late for me to try to explain it. So I'm not even going to attempt to do so. And Reekin Sun wants me to sing the Golden Girls, which I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Let's go to 508.
Hello, Song Monster.
That's me.
Hey, man. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm good, good. I thought tonight's show wasn't, you know, anything spectacular, but that dude earlier said it sucked. I'm like, man, have you watched a Raw episode in the past, like, 4 years? But, yeah, I just, I wanted to get your thoughts on, the TNT championship. I'm wondering, what do you think would be a smarter idea for them? If Cody loses to an AEW talent to put them over, or whether or not, I know it's not going to be Warhorse, it's not going to be Eddie Kingston, but, if they put over an independent talent and made him into an instant, like, star.
No, I mean, unless they were signing somebody and they really wanted to make a big deal and they thought he could be a big star. I think it's cool that they bring in some names like that, give them a little bit of rub, expose them to a television audience, and maybe, you know, get a good match out of it with Cody. I like the idea, but at the end of the day, you got to put your own talent over. It's just that simple. So I don't think that would be a good idea. I think if you're gonna do I wouldn't even necessarily do it where somebody, like, upsets Cody, although I wonder if that's kind of the direction they're going in here, because we've seen heelish tendencies from him. Maybe he loses to some random person that we're not thinking of, and that's what kind of sets him over the edge. But ultimately, I much prefer the story of Darby Allin eventually, kind of being the guy who gets that win over Cody, beats him for the championship. I think that title is tailor-made for somebody like him. But whoever it is, put your own people over. You can give exposure to these other guys. That's fine. But you got to put your own people over. So that's my attitude.
Yeah. No, I agree. I also thought your prediction for Scott Steiner next week for the debate is a pretty fucking really good prediction.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Get some Steiner math out of it. Calling, just wanted to... Yeah, Boston just sending some love to you, bro. Appreciate you. And then, you know, glad you were able to get the stream going. I feel like his Wi-Fi might be the best feud of the year right now.
Yeah, well, I hope there's no sequel. I'm going to have to make sure. I'm going to have to do test streaming now and make sure it doesn't happen again. I don't know how I have two streams going at once. I have no idea how that happened. I feel like I had twins tonight. But anyway.
But, yeah, that was my only question. The only thing else I would say, I agree that the women's tournament might be difficult to get through. I do like Sheeta as champion, but they are struggling right now with that department. And I also don't see the Allie Brandy thing really going anywhere. So like even giving it to Brandy, it'd be like, is it just so that if you do it a second year, you can put someone over?
Yeah,
like,
no.
Does she really need that?
Brandy yeah. should absolutely not win this tournament. They shouldn't even make it to the finals. If she wants to be in it, that's fine.
Yeah.
I saw the TV commercials mm-hmm. tonight. They have their new line of action figures coming out. She's front and center in the ad, right? What'd she call herself in the ad? What's the name? The nickname that she gave herself? Chief Brandy Officer. Okay.
Yeah.
She should not, under any circumstances, be winning this tournament.
No, I agree. It's just put over someone you can actually bill around and have matches with on a weekly basis. Someone I know they're struggling because, like, you got Riho stuck in Japan. They have other, like, Chris Statlander's out, Britt Baker's out. Their signings basically are just, I don't even know if Diamante is signed, but I know that, like, I can't think of her name right now. The evil woman they have, like, I hope they give her a good push.
No, Abaddon?
But, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, like, they got to work around it. It can't just be Cody's wife is winning. Like, because we all, like, we love Cody, but it's like he gave himself the TNT title the first time.
Not everybody loves
Cody.
Stuff
like that.
Based on some of the comments I've gotten and the emails I've gotten, believe me, not everybody loves Cody.
Okay, that's fair, yeah. But, yeah, they got to build around a woman they can have matches with and on a weekly basis. And so I agree with you completely. If Brandy wins it, it's just a big mistake for them, especially for the division that's struggling most within the whole company.
Yeah, Brandy is not the answer. Brandy is Brandy is good in her role. You know, chief branding mm-hmm. officer, I think, is her title, and she's a good spokesperson for the company, and she can certainly play a role on TV. But winning the tournament, her and Allie, no, I don't think so.
Now, and even that just pairing is weird because, like, they just literally had the bunny switch from heel to face. Like, once she reappeared during COVID, there was really no explanation why she's with QT Marshall or that's an interest in some sort. And I get what they're doing, but it's also like, you're just wondering, like, why?
Yeah. It's like I ask myself that question when I watch WWE a lot, so I don't need to see that infecting the AEW product.
Yeah, well, I give you 100% credit for still watching WWE. I had to bail at some point last year, but just a real quick WWE thing.
Yeah, real quick.
I didn't even watch this week, but I heard that Aleister Black is like currently being buried or something's going on with him, and I thought he was the easiest superstar you could build up. I was wondering if you had any thoughts on the way he's been treated recently since at least Paul Heyman's been fired.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of what they've been doing with Black recently. I made the joke, I'm gonna let you go. But on the podcast, I said he should have been a fireman. Because for weeks and weeks and weeks, what do we see with Aleister Black? He doesn't get an entrance. He runs out to rescue people. He's more interested in saving people, it seems like, than winning matches. He should have been a fireman. That should be his new entrance. They should have the alarms go off, and they should cut to the back, and you see the big gold pole, and he puts the hat on, and down the pole he comes, and off to the ring. They can give him a hose. He's a fucking fireman. I don't know if they're burying him. That's a strong word to use, but what they've done with him recently, coupled with the rumors of what Vince McMahon supposedly thinks about him, does not instill a lot of confidence, put it that way. Does not inspire much confidence in the future of Aleister Black under Vince McMahon, a guy who could have been a bona fide main eventer in that company. He had the special entrance, the guy can talk, you know, but how many times have we said this about people in WWE? Sometimes it'll work if they're lucky. Right? They say the cream rises to the top. I hope that's the case with Aleister Black. I hope he can get over in spite of whatever nonsense they do with him. Let us see here. We got a few more super chats. I know we'll skip that one. I did that one already. Oofman Entertainment. Sometimes the world looks perfect. Nothing. Oh. Singing the Perfect Stranger song. Nothing to rearrange. Sometimes you just get a feeling like you need some kind of change. No matter what the odds are inside, nothing's going to stand in my way. This is not karaoke night with Sala Monsters, so we'll move on here. The True Heel Master. Here's an interesting prediction. Cody against Leo Rush for the TNT Championship. During Leo's retirement tour, Rush appeared on GCW. He had a match with Joey Janela. You say his retirement tour. I mean, there's no such thing in wrestling as a retirement tour, especially for... How old is Leo? Is Leo even 25 years old yet? I don't even think he's that old. Believe me, this ain't no retirement tour for Leo Rush. But that would be a pretty good choice, I think, for like a surprise star to show up, you know, one day for the open challenge. And Chris, with the $10 drop, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate you sending love from Boston. Here's the AEW poll. One more time. You can vote at Sala Monster. And here's the NXT poll. NXT's got some catching up to do here in these polls. You know, one thing I meant to ask you guys, and for those of you who are left here, I unfortunately can only see one chat, so I can't see what people are saying in the other chat, but what do you think as far as ratings? Because that's going to be a big deal tomorrow, especially after AEW squashed NXT last week. I feel like they just bounce and ping-pong back and forth so many times. I would predict another AEW win, but I don't think it's going to be by that wide of a margin. I think it's going to tighten a lot this week. If I had to throw a prediction out there, I mean, AEW did 845,000 last week. NXT did 615 in the overnight number, 615,000. I'll throw my prediction out here. You guys throw your prediction out right now in the chat. What are your ratings predictions for this week? Just curious who ends up nailing it in the end. I'm going to say probably AEW this week. I'll say 760. 760 for AEW. NXT back up to like 710. The thing is with these two shows, man, they got to grow the audience. You know, it's nice that AEW got a big win last week, but it was NXT's huge drop. If AEW is going to go up, I want to see NXT go up. At least a little bit. They're not growing the overall pie. That's my concern. That's what they need to start doing. So it'll be very interesting tomorrow to see how that all shakes out. Because, you know, it's a big deal for all the fans. Lose their minds every week waiting for the numbers to come in, the Nielsen numbers. Let's wind down here. Let's go to 773.
Hello.
Hello, 773.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
All right, this is Turtlehead 2.
Turtlehead 2, what happened to Turtlehead 1?
Hey, he died.
Oh, my God. I should send flowers.
There could only be one.
I should send flowers.
There could only be one.
Well, do you have a question? Do you have a question, or did you just call it this horrible news that Turtlehead 1 is no longer with us?
Well, my clients were asking me to call in, so I did that. I do have a question. I didn't watch the show tonight because I had to work, but it's just a question I've been having for a couple of weeks. I wanted to ask you. You know, Cody, he can't challenge for the title, mm-hmm. but I've been asking, like, what if he were to be challenged? Like, what if the champion, you know, maybe got jealous of how he's been on TV every week promoting his title and, you know, somebody like Moxley or whoever might have it at the time might get jealous and say, hey, I want to do that. I want that title too. So they challenge him. And that gets them back in the picture without, you know, losing the stipulation that they, you know, he put on himself pretty much.
Could be. I guess it depends on when the time comes, if Cody's a heel or a babyface, but I would almost... I don't know, somebody had floated the idea a while back of he has to win like a battle royal or a gauntlet or something. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can go with it. That one would be kind of clever, I guess. But what they're actually going to do. I don't know. I hate it when they do this anyway, because it's not a stipulation that is going to be infinite. So, you know, they're going to go back on it at some point. We'll see how, right. We'll see how clever they are when they do it. But that could be a possibility. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, even if he, like, you know, continues this, you know, the heel turn that everybody sees, like, mm-hmm. he gets all cocky every week, you know, comes out, and, you know, I feel like it could work that way, where, you know, the AEW champion just says, you know, enough is enough, you know, let's do it.
Yeah, very possible. It's very possible. I don't see that happening anytime soon, but could it happen down the line? Sure, it could happen.
Because, I mean, it doesn't need to be right away. And then that ties into my other thing, you know, about, like, I feel that fans today, not to get on them, but I feel like they want too much, you know. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, they want everything so fast, and, you know, sometimes things need to develop. And, you know, do you think that today's fan is, you know, they lack patience?
Yeah.
I could go back to, you know, the mega powers explode. You know?
Yeah. And I don't think that it's a new phenomenon. I think fans have been that way for a long time. You know, I could be that way too. You know, sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, people get very impatient. And now that you have all these different options in terms of not just wrestling, but television, it's like, if you don't meet people's expectations in a quick enough way, it's on to the next one. So, you know, people have the attention spans of gnats. That's just the way it is. You know.
Exactly.
Vince McMahon, right? You hear stories about, oh, they're going to start pushing this guy. And then 2 weeks later, oh, it's Cedric Alexander thing. Oh, Vince got bored. After what, 3 weeks? He's got the right. attention span of a gnat. He's the same way. He's no better than the fans. He just has more money than most of us.
So it starts at the top.
Yeah, he just has more money. He has more money than probably all of us put together. But besides that, we're very much alike, obviously, Vince McMahon and all of us. Anyway, anything else before we? I'm going to wind down here. I take a couple more calls.
Nah, just want to shout out to the chat. You know, my clients, great guys. You know, everybody there. Thank you for doing this every week. Gives me, you know, something to look forward to.
Well, you keep listening, and I'll keep streaming as long as my Wi-Fi will allow me to.
All right. Take care, man.
All right, you too. Got some testing to do tomorrow. I'm going to do some test streaming to make sure that we don't end up with two streams. I just checked. I was curious because we have the two streams going. And I don't know why everybody didn't just filter into the main one, but I just checked a minute ago. And we have the two. And in one of them, let's see where we're at right now. Yeah, combined. I mean, combined has still got like 800 people here. So I don't know, man. I don't have a good answer for you. But let me go to this gentleman here, because I know he's been waiting a while. He's one of our diehards. And that would be the J-Man. I believe Jared is joining us.
Jason, I don't know if you knew this, but the United States is one big toilet bowl. And the perfect place to stick the enema is in Pittsburgh.
I heard that. A certain Canadian told me that many years ago.
Many, yeah. About 22 years ago? 23?
23. Yeah, 23 years
May
ago.
90, May 97?
Was it May or July? I thought it was... You might be right. It might have been May. Although I know it's...
Maybe it was July because Brett still had the crutch.
I know it's a line that he later admitted he regretted saying, because it was kind of harsh, and he actually liked the people in Pittsburgh. Was it Wrestling with Shadows? Is that when he made the comment that he regretted making that comment?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. That's what I thought. That was a great line, though. You got to admit, it was a great line, and not untrue either.
Except for the El Dandy line. That's one of my favorite.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Yes. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? He's a great wrestler. He's
mean
got
great, Gene. Who are you to doubt El Dandy's
great ability.
Skills? He's one of the top cruiserweights.
And what about that other guy?
WCW.
What about that other guy? Hypnosis.
Psychosis.
Well, Psychosis, even better. Sure. Yeah. See, and there are people who try to tell me that Brett was never a good promo, and these people don't know professional wrestling.
Bullshit.
These people don't know professional wrestling.
Bullshit. Jason, I for since October, actually only quit about the last 25 minutes of the show. I was working late. What was this thing with Excalibur? Can you explain that?
So basically, it was not stated exactly why he wasn't on the show. The belief is that he was kept off the show at least for tonight, and hopefully for no longer. Because the last few days, people have been actually for weeks, to be honest with you, because I had people who were telling me about this even 2-3 weeks ago. There were people just trying to cause trouble who were circulating old clips of him and Kevin Steen from PWG. And this is going back maybe 15, 16 years, trying to get heel heat, dropping the N-word in a couple of different promos. I think it was just two clips. There was one where they were in a building. They were in a gym at a show. And there was a black wrestler in the ring. I don't know who it was.
Yeah.
And Excalibur, Steen was just kind of standing in the crowd next to him. But Excalibur had the mic, and he just, I mean, he flat out called him the word. And it was very uncomfortable. But that was, I want to say, 2003, maybe. I mean, it was many, many years ago. And then the other clip was an interview, probably not long after. This was just a promo, so it was him up close with his phone or a camera or whatever, and you could tell, like, he had the mask on, but you could tell how young he was. And he used a variation.
He's not that old of a guy.
No, but he used, like, a variation of the, like, a slang version of the N-word. And so people have been circulating, they've been circulating the clips, trying to get him in trouble or whatever, and all of a sudden, he was off the show this week, so...
The internet wrestling community trying to cause trouble. Wow, I just never knew that could happen. I never knew they could cause that much trouble. Maybe Joey Ryan fed him that line. But Jason, what else did I miss? I got a DVR. I got to watch it. What do I watch? What do I go through?
Watch the War Horse and Cody match. It was good. It wasn't great. Okay. It was good. I thought the main event was good. There was some good stuff. There was some good matches on the show, but by no means was this show as fun or as good as last week's show. Not even close.
Was there any mention of Eddie Kingston?
No. It looks like it was one and done with him.
No. Okay. And you also mentioned, I was heard you before, something about Arn calling not the Horseman, but what was the other? What else did you say? If they were going to use a faction.
What do you mean?
You said Arn can't use the Four Horsemen, but if they were going to form a faction.
There was a segment where FTR kind of earlier in the day, they were in a boardroom with the AEW attorney. They were finally signing their contract, mm-hmm. and Arn just barged in and said, "Hey guys, these your contracts? Let me take a look at them." And he was like he's their manager or something. He's reviewing their contract. And Hangman Page made a little cameo to celebrate the occasion with some Jack Daniels. And he made a comment. He was saluting. He was saluting, and he said, "To the Mid-Atlantic." And I thought to myself, I wonder if that could be the potential stable name if there is a stable in the future. The Mid-Atlantic. What do you think of that name? The Mid-Atlantic.
I don't love it. It doesn't send shockwaves down my body, but nothing in wrestling really does anymore. AEW on most weeks.
Shockwaves? I can't think of anything that sends shockwaves down my body when it comes to wrestling. I don't think anything's ever sent shockwaves down my body. That would be a little weird, but they teach their own.
Like Chris
Matthews, when he got a weird sensation down his leg.
Is that Jack Daniels still sitting down there?
It is, yes. It's in the cabinet, in fact.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you, my man.
I'm trying, you know. I've got to get that summer body, you know. Even though I'm not going anywhere. It's a summer body for me. It's a summer body for me. Fuck everybody else. Maybe on the stream one day I'll have my beach bod. How about that? That'll surely get me demonetized.
I know Jack and Coke is your drink. I like Jack and I just like Jack and soda, just like regular club soda. But I didn't call you to talk about liquor. But Anything else worthy tonight that I missed?
No, that's
Brian
it.
Cage, anything?
No, I would just go. Yeah, just that's go. It. Yeah, just go back and check those things out, and I think you'll be good to go.
I think 725 to 685 AEW.
Yeah, I can see that. I think it's definitely going to be narrower, and unfortunately, I don't see the pie being expanded, even though that's what I would like to see. So I think both will be down. Well, no, I take that back. AEW will be down, but they'll still win. Mm-hmm. NXT will be up, but I think it'll be more of the same this week. So we'll find out around 4 o'clock, I guess, tomorrow afternoon. Everybody will have their pitchforks out and their memes on Twitter, and it'll be the same thing we see every Thursday.
It's like George and Jerry fighting, slap fighting. Every time I hear your streams, and I love them, but it makes me feel old. I mean, you got all these young kids, and me and you, the only one that remembers back in the '80s.
Well, we're not the only ones.
We do know a lot about the '80s and the early '90s. So, but Jason, you have a good night, and I always appreciate you taking my call, and I'll speak to you next week.
Absolutely, take care, Jared. I appreciate that. As always, Jared calling into the stream. Somebody in the chat before said, is this a childhood friend? No, it's just a loyal listener who tunes into the content. And I love hearing from all the longtime hardcore diehards. They are the guys that keep the show going. The true heel master. I can't wait until New Japan's Wrestle Dynasty comes to America when this whole pandemic is over. Yeah, it's too bad. We would be having a Madison Square Garden show in less than a month here in New York. You know, it was actually going to be SummerSlam weekend. August 22nd, the day before SummerSlam, was going to be Wrestle Dynasty at MSG. All this fun stuff, man. This pandemic has screwed everything up. All this fun stuff that we're missing out on. Now, before I wrap up, the lines are still jammed, but I think we're probably going to wind down here. I'll tell you what we'll do, because we have a few people who have been waiting a while. Let me just take a couple more. If you guys can keep it nice and pithy so we can wind down here. 313, go to you first.
Hey, this is Justin from Detroit. I know this is going to be quick. So I don't want to see Sammy Guevara versus Matt Hardy. I'd rather see Joey Janela. That's like a match that's made in heaven. And I don't understand why that's not like the logical way that they would go with this. And then the other thing is that with them pushing these monsters from other companies, like Lance Archer, Brian Cage, and Brody Lee, they're all in the top five. So unless you start making these people lose, but all they've been doing is winning on Dark, there's really no way you're going to get them out of the top five because they're so protected. That's pretty much it. Have a good night. I'll leave you alone.
Awesome. I think that's a great point that he makes. Janela, well, I assume he meant Janela and Matt Hardy. Yeah. Yeah. But again, Janela and like Broken Matt. Janela and Matthew Hardy, who gives a shit? That's why I think it's too premature to be talking about ditching all the gimmicks, man. That's what brought you to the dance here. You're still a new guy in this company. There's a lot of untapped, not just comedy, but just a lot of untapped creativity. I still can't believe they didn't do anything at the Hardy home. But maybe for safety reasons, didn't want to have people on his property. I guess that would make sense. Maybe he's a little worried. You know, he's got kids. You know, a little pandemic thing. We don't want to be inviting people to our home. That I can understand if that's the idea behind them not doing it. 631.
Hey, Jason, what's going on, brother? It's Scott.
Scott.
The last call, I just got about a few quick points. I'm going to hit them real fast.
Awesome.
I thought Hangman, the tag match with Dark Order was good stuff tonight. I liked that. That's how you have a breakdown type brawl. I thought that was nice. FTR fit in really well. Like we talked about 3 weeks ago, Hangman just keep getting the next position to be that breakout when they break up him and Kenny. I do see him as a future face champion in the next year. Two, I think that the Warhorse definitely disappointed from what I've ever seen on him in the indies in the last few months. I've seen a few matches of his. I thought it would be better tonight because Cody meshes well with a lot of wrestlers, and I don't think him and Warhorse had the best chemistry, as you'd say, inside of the ring. And other than that, tonight I thought it was a good main event. I thought the spot with the tax was pretty sick. Pretty deep. That's a pretty deep cut that Ricky took on his back, because, you know, even last week when Cody and Eddie landed on the tacks, you know, they showed some good color. Cody had, you know, you could tell, but man, Ricky looked like he was just
he was in a bad way.
Red backed.
Yeah, he was in a bad way.
All right, man. Another great show tonight, man. Thank God you got your Wi-Fi back.
Yeah.
And my best friend who actually introduced me to you, my friend Matt, it's his birthday tonight. So happy birthday, Matt.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, happy birthday, Matt.
Talk to you next week, Jason.
All right. Thank you, man. Stay safe. And again, happy birthday to Matt. I don't know if Matt's sleeping or Matt's tuned in right now, but hopefully he had a good birthday. And let us go to 416.
Hey, I have a question. With SummerSlam no longer being in Boston, do you think it's possible that WWE could run SummerSlam from Daly's place?
No. No. I don't even think they would entertain the idea. Funny enough, though, if they did, I actually think Tony Khan would hear them out. And I think he might be, you know, he might be open to it. If he has any, I guess he would own it technically. I don't know exactly what the ownership situation is, but it doesn't matter because they're not going to do it. So no, that's not going to happen. It would be funny, but that's not going to happen.
What do you think about a Legacy 2.0 faction between Randy Orton, Andrade, and Angel Garza?
Yeah, I mean that's what I was going to talk about on Sunday. That's kind of where I'm thinking this may be headed, because we saw a different side of Garza and Andrade, a little bit more aggressive, especially at the end of their match on Monday. And they kind of beat up the Street Profits at the announce desk. And it goes back to what Orton said to Garza many weeks ago when they teamed up. He grabbed him by the throat and put him up. He put the fear of God into this guy. He says, get serious and get your shit together. And, you know, you got a bunch of guys here who I think they're all third generation, if I'm not mistaken. So they have that in common. So I think there could be something there coming out of SummerSlam. They all have title matches at SummerSlam. Orton's challenging for the WWE title. Garza and Andrade are challenging for the tag team titles. I think there could be something there.
All right, have a good night. Thanks.
You too. Wouldn't call them Legacy 2.0 exactly, but if they did do something like that, I would hope that, unlike Legacy the first time, the only person who really kind of got over coming out of it was Randy Orton. Now, Cody, this guy Cody Rhodes, you might have heard of him. He turned out okay. Once he left WWE, he turned out okay. But coming out of Legacy, yeah, you would think like part of the idea would be not just for Orton to get over, but like Evolution. They got these two new stars over. And the only guy who really came out of Legacy better off for it was Randy Orton. He came out of it. He was the hottest star in the company there, coming out of WrestleMania 26 for a few months. DiBiase, nothing really happened with DiBiase. Cody had marginal success. You know, didn't exactly turn into a top-tier player there. So I would hope those guys end up a little bit better off than they did in WWE. So I mentioned at the beginning that tomorrow is kind of a big day for me. And the reason that it's a big day for me, and I know some of you are remember this from a year ago, it is the one-year anniversary of, it's going to look weird because this is, it's mirrored, so it's going to look backwards, but this right here is my mother's children's book. And she had worked on a children's story for a number of years about a horse named Hardy. The Adventure of Hardy the Horse is the name of the book. And you know, she passed away a couple of years ago, wasn't able to get the story published. And I was able to link up with an independent publisher late last year, and we talked and negotiated, and I signed a contract with the publisher. I found this great illustrator, this guy who does work for DC Comics, and everything came together. It was a long process. And last year, on July 30th, so tomorrow was the one-year anniversary, the book was published, and my mother became, you know, posthumously, she became a published author. And it's one of the best days of my life to be able to have that book physically in my hand. And I can't thank all the people, all the listeners of my show who knew of her, because, you know, I talked about her health struggles. I had her on the show that one time, episode 495, and people loved that episode. I'm so happy I had her on. That was the Mother's Day episode. But, you know, people from all over the world you know, supported, and they bought the book off Amazon, and they would send me and tweet me these pictures of them with their kid or their nieces and nephews holding the book, or they got it in their local library and they took a picture of it on the shelf. And I just think that's the coolest thing. So I'm going to put something up on social media tomorrow, a little video, just kind of reminding everybody and thanking a few people. But I wanted to you know, definitely mention this tonight, since we are, it is now officially, I guess, Thursday morning. It's still surreal to me, honestly, that this finally became a reality. And yeah, you know, I always say my only regret is that she couldn't be here to see it herself, because she would flip. If she finally was able to get this book published and in her hands, she would be over the moon. And anyway, so thank you to everybody who have purchased the copy. The book is available on Amazon, even if it tells you that they're running low on stock. Just be patient, because they're always restocking. It is The Adventure of Hardy the Horse. Good book for all ages. I would say ideally age 4 to 6. But it's a good book for any, you know, any child, certainly. It's got a good moral. Yeah. So that's the place to go if you want to pick up a copy. And of course, if you do get a copy, send me a picture. Send me a picture and I will be sure to retweet it. But I just wanted to mention that because I still think that's just the greatest thing. So anyway, thank you for sticking with me tonight through all the technical problems. Hopefully I'll get that worked out well before next week's stream. And hopefully that will never happen again. Still don't know why that happened. Very frustrating. But Recon Sun with the final super chat of the night. When are we getting a Solid Monster 24/7 stream? I feel like you're kind of getting one right now. But I'm fading, so we can't go 24 hours or... Wait, did you say 24/7? I thought you said 24 hours. No, 24/7 would kill me. That is not going to happen. But I appreciate the sentiment. I feel like you would be there. I feel like Recon Sun would be there the whole time with me. Like, you would hang in there with me. You and Turtle Man, or Turtle Head. whatever handle he has. I called him Turtle Man. You could tell I'm getting tired. All right, let me wrap this up here. I will see you guys again next week. Until then, be well. Stay safe. Chris Hansen, stay the hell away from me. And I will see you guys next week for more Dynamite recap action here on the YouTube channel.